Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
They tested completely the ins and the outs of me. Why don't they leave me alone? Please leave me alone. I just want to go home. I'm old and I'm tired of the fuss. I would not pursue, but I'll do it for you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Murder in Little Rock. The chairman of the state Democratic Party in Arkansas, Bill Guatney, was shot to death today.
He pulled out a handgun and shot Chairman Guatney several times. He then turned and left the business.
The motive for the shooting is not yet known. Little Rock Mayor Mark Stodola.
I'm sure it's this moment in time it's going to be impossible for them to understand why some crazy incident like this would happen.
The suspect cannot explain it. He lost his high-speed chase and his gunfight with the police down the road. President Bush has reiterated the free world's peak over Russia's roughshod ride over the former Soviet state of Georgia, 15,000 troops, for example, in South Ossetia, and in many neighborhoods, mourning family members collect the dead.
Rice is flying overnight to France to coordinate mediation efforts.
Then I will fly on to Tbilisi to underscore the strong support of the United States for the Georgian people and their democratically elected government.
The Secretary of State said, however the violence began last week in South Ossetia, Russia has now brutally turned it into an unjustified invasion of Georgia.
CBS's Dan Revive. Taliban fighters with assault rifles attacked a U.S. aid group's SUV and killed three women, including an American, and their Afghan driver, Michael Coker, at the International Rescue Committee.
This was an absolutely unexpected, senseless act of shocking violence that renders us all speechless.
The good news about breast cancer from the National Cancer Institute's journal is this. If you survive for 5 years after treatment, your chances of survival go up to 90%.
This study does provide some reassurance that certainly for patients with early-stage breast cancer may have, you know, lower risk of developing a recurrence than they think.
Dr. Avenant Brewster is an oncologist in Houston. Tougher than usual day for Cindy McCain, John's wife, in Michigan.
An individual shook her hand very vigorously in the event that we're at, and she has a minor sprain.
That big handshake evidently exacerbated Cindy McCain's ongoing problems with carpal tunnel syndrome. The dollar has continued to strengthen against the euro today, which is the good news. Retail sales in the U.S. came down a bit, however.
When we see things like stimulus checks, there's usually what we call a pothole afterwards. Discretionary spending will probably come down, and we'll see some weaker numbers.
Retail sales were down one-tenth of a point. On Wall Street, the Dow lost more than 109 points today. The Nasdaq was off 8 points. Oil prices bounced up $3 to $116 a barrel. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland will be branching out. A 25,000-square-foot wing will be opening in New York City. Billy Joel helped make the announcement today. Bruce Springsteen's 57 Chevy, by the way, will be there, too. This is CBS News.
Imagine what your life would be like if over half your credit card debt was gone. You don't have to imagine life without credit card debt. You can call Financial Freedom of America for a free, no-obligation debt consultation. Their friendly staff will show you how they can wipe out 30 to 60% of your credit card bills. Not available in all states. The call is free. The consultation is free. Call 800-768-9617. 800-768-9617. Don't wait another minute. Call 800-768-9617.
What is the economy made of, I ask you? I'll tell you. It's made of pennies. Little perfect circles of metal that combine to form the very backbone of our nation's commercial life. A gigantic copper foundation upon which capitalism is built. To disregard the penny is to disregard America itself.
Office Max loves pennies. Right now, get great back-to-school deals like rulers and folders for 1 cent each. Go back to school for pennies at Office Max. Restrictions apply. See store for details while supplies last.
Can you believe the Western wildfire season hasn't even started yet?
A million acres have burned in California this year, and it's still another month until traditional fire season begins. State leaders are holding a summit to discuss how to get ahead of the wildfires. State Senator Sam Odiston says red tape has slowed brush clearing.
Rules and regulations for taking away dead and dying timber were way too restrictive and inefficient and costly.
Costly to fight fires, too. California has already gone over $1 billion this year. Andrew Mullenbeck, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Do not expect convicted pedophile Joseph Edward Duncan to beg for his life in Boise, Idaho. He murdered three people in a family and kidnapped two children. He abused and tortured 9-year-old Dylan and 8-year-old Shasta Groney and murdered Dylan. He represented himself and plans no substantive defense against execution. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, we're Shadaisy. Now, being on tour is great, but after 23 days, we can't wait to get home
and to our own Sleep Number beds. The tougher your days, the more you deserve a Sleep Number night. It's the only bed that lets you adjust your Sleep Number setting at the touch of a button. A higher Sleep Number setting for more firmness, a lower number for softer support. And since every day is different, you can always find your perfect Sleep Number anytime. Because the most comfortable sleep is the one you control yourself. Experience the difference a Sleep Number bed makes every night. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com to find any one of our 450 stores. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts. Enjoy cool summer savings on all Sleep Number beds. Twin mattresses start at only $449. Hurry in. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com today for a store near you.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. We bake one of these every day. Lots to talk about, great people to talk with. We'll go live to the Greek islands, the Mediterranean Sea, and talk to the Free Gaza Adventurers. Coming up in just a moment. Also on today's show, and shortly, Eric Bowler joins us from Media Matters for America. We'll talk about the coverage or lack of John Edwards scandal. Also on today's program, California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi, first out of the gate announcing for the governorship in 2010. We'll talk about the continuing stalemate over the budget in Sacramento, about stem cell oversight. There's a bill in the mill over there. And also, the governor's plan to privatize the cleanup of Fort Ord on the Monterey Peninsula. Next hour, Scott Horton, a lawyer and a writer for Harper's Magazine, wants to alert you to the latest scandal. He says that Wes Teal, a former Supreme Court justice in Mississippi, is a political prisoner. We'll find out why. Also ahead, Carla Rahig from the National Wildlife Federation with a warning that the wrecking crew in Washington, the Bush Gang, are trying to wreck the Endangered Species Act without legislative process. And we're going to check in with the Pumas, the people who in the extreme form I characterize as Give Me Hillary or Give Me Death. Will Bauer will kick off our free speech zone about 2 hours away. That's all upcoming here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can call in at any time. We welcome your comments or questions at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can always email me, and that's peter@peterbcollins.com. Dr. Paul LaRudy from the Free Gaza Movement is underway. They're on the seas of the Mediterranean in Greek territory right now. Paul, how is it going?
Great. I'm on the bow of the Liberty because that's where the least engine noise is while I'm talking to you, and it's really inspiring. Beautiful night out here, three-quarter moon shining across the sea. And right behind me, we're in the lead here, and the Free Gaza is right behind us. Mm-hmm. So we have our small flotilla, the two ships traveling together for this time.
So you have left the Isle of Crete, and your next destination is Cyprus. Is that correct?
that's the ultimate destination. We may have a couple of stops along the way. Well, it's not quite the ultimate. Of course, after Cyprus, we're going to head to Gaza. But we're going to hook up with our colleagues in Cyprus when we get there.
Mm-hmm. And yesterday you had delayed your de-embarkation, your departure, because of high seas. Has the Mediterranean settled down a little bit for you?
It has. There may be some rough seas up ahead, which is one of the reasons we might have to stop along the way. But we don't expect it to be a long delay if there is one indeed.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of look forward to these stops because the Greek people are just unbelievably enthusiastic. They can't do enough for us. The sacrifices that some of them have made, and actually in our own group as well, people have given up jobs. They've allowed themselves to be fired from their jobs just so that they can be with us. It's really inspiring to see what people have done for us. They bring food down to the ships. They offer us their homes. I haven't paid for a night here yet.
Well, that is true hospitality. And, Paul, you had teased us yesterday that you might have an announcement for us or some news today. What's breaking?
Well, the main thing is that we do have ships together, the ships being on the move. We thought it was going to take longer than it did, and indeed we are on the move. But the other thing I want to mention is that there is the pressure actually from Israeli diplomatic sources is heavier than ever. We're being warned by friends in the government here that that pressure is being applied to create bureaucratic problems for us and this sort of thing. And also we're concerned, our friends here have created a small security force to check on things, and we're careful to be concerned about sabotage of various kinds along the way. There's an indication that that's building up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure your vigilance is warranted. And has there been any official message from the Israeli government challenging your attempts to land in Gaza next week?
Yes, they have said that what we are doing is we're planning an illegal action, but the Greek government has said, no, this is a legal action. And while they have kind of warned any Greeks participating that they consider it a dangerous action, but mm-hmm. that it's legal and that they are not intending to, as long as it remains legal, that they're not intending to interfere with it.
Yeah.
But that's the key. You can always find little bureaucratic problems, I's not dotted and the T's not crossed and this sort of thing. So we want to avoid that. And mm-hmm. the best way to do that is to just keep moving.
Yeah. Well, Paul, thank you for the update. And I'm just a little jealous. I'd love to be on your ship there on the Mediterranean on a beautiful night like this. And I certainly share the cause of your efforts to go ashore in Gaza next week and challenge the Israeli blockade or control of that zone. And we will talk to you tomorrow and get another update and see where you are.
Okay, I'll look forward to it. And if you're sufficiently tempted, we'll keep a place for you.
Okay, thank you very much. That's Dr. Paul LaRudy. And you can follow their progress and learn more about this flotilla, two ships on their way to Gaza. And the website is freegaza.org. It's simple, freegaza.org. Eric Bohler joins me now from Media Matters for America. Their website, of course, mediamatters.org. How are you doing, Eric?
Good, and you, Peter?
Not too bad. I'm just wondering if the Media Matters team was working overtime over the past weekend to cope with the late Friday drop of John Edwards' confession.
You know, we haven't done a ton of stuff on that. We've been more busy with sort of Jerome Corsi's anti-Obama book.
Right.
We're going to have Paul Waldman on Larry King Live tonight to go up opposite Jerome Corsi.
Oh, that's going to be an interesting...
It will. And I think it shows, you know, in 2004, when Corsi and O'Neill did the Swift Boat book, you know, they were just giving free rein. They were just giving free rein on the cable shows.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think this is Corsi's first interview on CNN, and he's going to be confronted directly with a critic, and that's the way it should be. So,
yeah, I think that's good, because I saw his debut uncriticized by Sean Hannity.
Well, he has free reign on Fox News, as he knows and the viewers know.
Mm-hmm.
MSNBC last week he was on, and Contessa Brewer basically was reading him back Media Matters items and sort of putting him on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think his book is going to debut number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Now, you know, I think, you know, maybe some folks on the left get discouraged or upset, but, you know, I don't, it hasn't really crossed over to the mainstream press and that they're not taking it seriously. Frankly, I think a lot of those books sold on the first week were probably bulk as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's encouraging to see this pattern versus, you know, the pattern that unfolded in 2004, where journalists are, as they should have in 2004, greeting this initially with deep skepticism and essentially, you know, forcing Corsi to essentially prove his point and mm-hmm. not just sort of accept it.
Yeah. Well, there is great coverage and refutation available at MediaMatters.org. We did discuss it last week with Paul Waldman. And if people can watch Larry King tonight, that should be a very interesting episode. But to the John Edwards issue, you know, I knew about the altercation, the embarrassing scene at the Beverly Hilton Hotel for a couple of weeks. And I sat on it because I didn't feel I needed to do the tabloids' work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And also because I didn't think it was terribly relevant. It's embarrassing, but he's not a candidate, and, you know, it's mostly a private matter as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I guess the last news angle was he going to have a platform at the convention? That was really going to be his last sort of public appearance in terms of any terms of this campaign, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's your take on the way the corporate media basically sidestepped this issue, because it was relevant in December and January when John Edwards was a candidate, and this secret that he and apparently his wife and family knew about could have exploded at any time. And had it held all the way till August here and he were the nominee, I'm sure a lot of people would be really upset, more than we are, people already are.
Yeah. You know, I guess the explanation was back in before, you know, he got cornered at the Beverly Hills Hotel a few weeks ago. I mean, but back in the winter, I think the gist was, you know, this was coming from the tabloid. No one really had any other proof. And if you are a candidate, and if you do have a question of infidelity, I guess it is relevant. I don't think the press really likes to do it, actually. And so I think they were mostly stalled. The thing that gets me now is all this sort of, you know, all this hand-wringing we're seeing in the press. You know, why didn't we do it earlier? Oh, we shouldn't be snobs when it comes to National Enquirer and things like that. You know, I wish we'd see that sort of hand-wringing when, you know, the mainstream press, you know, for 4 or 6 weeks completely blacked out the Downing Street memo, you know, a few years ago, or when the network's news recently, to this day, I think, have completely boycotted the New York Times story about how they sort of got in bed with these Pentagon generals during the run-up to the war. You know, if I compile a list of 4 or 5, 6 stories in the mainstream press, just absolutely refuse to cover the legitimate stories,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're a hell of a lot more important than all this hand-wringing we're seeing now about, you know, gee, why didn't they cover John Edwards' sex life?
Well, but this is interesting. I agree with your point. This is the same corporate media that can't find even 1 minute for self-criticism over the insertion of Pentagon generals using Donald Rumsfeld's talking points.
But boy, but every ombudsman in the country was writing column, you know, Monday or Sunday, saying, "Oh boy, we should have done a better job covering John Edwards' sex life."
Well, but that's because
I just get annoyed by, you know, where are all those ombudsman columns for all these other topics? Well, go ahead.
But beside the ombudsman, it gives many people an opportunity to raise the issue and churn it over some more. Just like Rush Limbaugh is, there's a post up at Media Matters about that.
Yeah.
And so by focusing on the journalism, they can work in the tabloid stuff and go even deeper. And
yeah, I think that, you know, I think it's the National Enquirer angle that has made it sort of sexy now. You know, and frankly, I just think there's, now that it did break, I think there's much more of an eagerness in terms of the press to cover a Democrat.
Yep.
I mean, in theory, you know, if Mike Huckabee dropped out of the race, or better example, Fred Thompson dropped out of the race because he's no longer in politics at all.
Mm-hmm.
If Fred Thompson had dropped out of the race, and we found out via the National Enquirer that, you know, he had an affair, do you really think, like, the press 6, 7, 8 days later would be talking about this?
Probably not. Eric, we're going to take a break and return.
Yep.
Eric Bollert with us from MediaMatters.org. Next, we're going to talk about his column that's up at Media Matters right now. Is Fox News on the descent? That's juicy, and we'll pursue it in a moment. Here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman, and you're listening to Monterey Bay's progressive voice, KRXA 540. Think for yourself!
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Tired of living with pain, depression, or anxiety? Optimal Health Acupuncture at 132 Carmelito Avenue in Monterey is your ticket to a fresh, rejuvenated lifestyle. Licensed acupuncturist Glenn Sadowski will give you your life back. Just listen to the actual words of one of Glenn's patients.
For over 7 months, Glenn Sadowski has been treating me for asthma diagnosed in 2001 after years of steroidal treatments and many other medications which caused me to gain over 50 pounds. I wanted my life and health back. A close friend told me of Glenn Sadowski's successful treatment for asthma patients. Since January, I have experienced a remarkably positive change in my life due to Glenn's holistic health care approach, which includes acupuncture, herbal supplements, as well as dietary and exercise changes. I have jettisoned virtually all of my meds, as well as the unwanted 50 pounds. Glenn Sadowski and Optimal Health have given me back my life.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, and I can help you reclaim your life, too. Call me at 831-655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. What are you waiting for?
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Look no further. Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink. Homemade fraps, mochas, lattes, how about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors. Try the new pina colada. Black Forest Espresso is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We have it all. Soups, sandwiches. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center next to Save Mart. at Forrest and David Pacific Grove, or check out blackforestespresso.com.
Coverage of the Democratic National Convention from Denver. You can help. Visit my website at peterbcollins.com. Continue with Eric Bollard from Media Matters at MediaMatters.org, and his column this week is pretty interesting. Eric, you take a tough look at the Fox News Channel numbers. The ratings are stagnant. The competition is doing a little better, both at CNN and MSNBC, and they got snubbed by the Presidential Debate Commission.
Last week, the Blue Ribbon Commission handed out the coveted moderator positions. Jim Lehrer in recent years has almost sort of cornered that market, but Gwen Ifill, Tom Brokaw, Bob Schieffer are going to be in there. And Fox News has never been involved in the fall general election debates. CNN, twice since '88, has been involved. So they have sort of dipped into the cable talent pool. But my point was, if there's one thing this sort of state debate commission doesn't like is controversy. And you can bet if they had tapped obviously Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity are never going to moderate any debate. But, someone like Britt Hume, I think if he worked for a network, would be a natural for consideration, Chris Wallace. But you can be sure if they were ever invited to moderate a general election campaign, there would be holy hell raised, particularly online.
Mm-hmm.
And because we know from last year the bloggers initiated this boycott of Democrats appearing on Fox News for the debates. So I think that's definitely, my hunch is that the Debate Commission had that in mind, didn't even want to go near that. And I don't think anyone from Fox, frankly, will ever be invited to be part of the presidential debate. And I think it's because of that pushback from last year.
I'm also pleased that ABC wasn't invited, because I really resented the way they handled the Pennsylvania debate in May.
Yeah,
June.
They caught a lot of flack for that. I did see at the Wall Street Journal the chairman of the debate commission saying, "Oh no, it had absolutely nothing to do with that debate. I'm not sure. I totally believe her." But they claim, it was just sort of a matter of the rotation. But Fox News, which Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch are desperate to sort of win over this legitimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And they've made, every year they've made certain, they make certain progress. But I think they've had a real setback in terms of being snubbed with the debates last year and this year. And the lack of debates has turned around and affected their ratings during the primary, during the campaign season. And this campaign season is just turning into a real ratings dud for them. And I think just like 9/11 was, in retrospect, really catapulted them into number one, I think this presidential race is going to be the event that sort of marked the end of their dominance.
Well, and Eric, I share all of these thoughts about Fox News Channel. I think that it's a mess and it's an insult to most Americans. But it fascinates me how many homes I visit where it's on all the time.
Right.
And, you're in the family room, but in the living room 20 feet away, the whooshes are gone. And I don't know if people just find it mesmerizing or exactly what. But even real progressives, I'll go into the home and I'll say, what the hell are you doing?
I see it in a lot of people tell me, when I go home to my parents' house, or I can't stand going, folks in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And, Bill O'Reilly, half of Bill O'Reilly's audience is over 65.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear a lot of people, talking about their parents, like, I can't believe when I go home my parents have Fox News on. So it does seem to be this weird background noise, and particularly for a certain demographic.
Yeah, it is true. And the last episode for me was visiting Uncle Charlie, who's in his 80s, in Detroit.
Yep. There you
and
go.
We were talking Obama, and, he's stepping up to the plate to vote, and there's the Fox News Channel going nonstop. Eric, thank you very much, and I want people to read your column at MediaMatters.org and watch Larry King Live tonight to see Paul Waldman face off against Jerome Corsi.
From Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. This is Dave Ross. He became famous as the man who helped scuttle Michael Dukakis' presidential campaign with the notorious Willie Horton ad. And now Floyd Brown is back with the beef against Barack Obama.
Maybe it doesn't matter if Obama were a Muslim back then, but it does matter if he is not telling the truth about it now.
More after this.
Great moments in summer games history from Tiger Balm.
In 2000, the U.S. 4x100 relay team won the gold in a blistering 37.61 seconds. You, on the other hand, managed to strain your calf muscle in just 0.61 seconds, celebrating a touchdown in your last flag football game. Oh! Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. A 100-year pain relief formula trusted by people around the world. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
Say you're driving along without a TomTom GPS, and you realize you're low on gas. You could just find the nearest station, even though the price seems a little bit high, and as the numbers on the screen march onward and upward like some never-ending journey toward bankruptcy, you start to wonder why your gas tank never seems so bottomless, or if there's just some gremlin in there guzzling away all your hard-earned dollars. Or you could use a TomTom. With daily fuel price updates, TomTom finds you the lowest price on gas and directs you right to it. TomTom, go confidently.
Floyd Brown makes no apologies for his attack ads.
I think it's the best kind of advertising in political campaigns. I wish there was more of it like it.
He says they bring up issues that even the opposition candidate doesn't want to bring up. Issues like this.
Barack Obama can quote the Islamic call to prayer in perfect Arabic. And the reason is because as a small child, he was going to the mosque in Indonesia. Now, you know, he says on his website, I have never been a Muslim.
Because Barack Obama's dad took him to his place of worship, Floyd Brown says Obama was in fact a Muslim as a child and yet does not say that on his website. Brown admits that Obama is clearly a Christian now, but says he ought to fess up to having been a Muslim up until the age of 7. And there's more. There's the matter of the Kenyan tribe his father came from.
He is from a tribe that traditionally were selling slaves.
Of course, if the background of his mostly absent father counts, what about Obama's mother? Well, she's not part of the argument because she was raised in Kansas. And there's nothing that scary about Kansas. Except some of the barbecue sauce. I asked him, if this stuff is fair game against Barack Obama, then is John McCain's decision to leave his first wife after her disabling accident also fair game for an attack ad?
I think it is fair game, yeah.
So there you go, Democrats. You have a green light from the king of the attack ads. And lest you think that Floyd Brown has no rules, he says all he wants Obama to do is to revise the part of his resume covering ages 1 through 7.
I think politicians need to be honest about their backgrounds. If he admitted it, I'll pull my ad down.
The Osgood File. Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Frutti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood pasta and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Frutti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Frutti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to fruttidimargrill.com or call 384-8525.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build communities, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Anybody got a budget, huh? Have you got a budget? Can you send it to Arnold? This half hour, we're joined by California's Democratic Lieutenant Governor, John Garamendi.
I'm walking on down the alley with a face I'll never see. Before, from the inner darkness,
me your money, please. California remains without a budget, and John Garamendi is there at the center of the action in Sacramento. How you doing today, John?
Border Governors Conference, dealing with the Mexican states that border California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas.
Uh-huh. Can you start?
Change.
John, we've got a better connection now. Can you say that last part again? We missed it.
Yeah, I'm at the Border Governors Conference, and I'm going to be out of this canyon in just a few moments. This is the conference between the California states bordering the Mexican border and the Mexican states. And we're dealing with issues from immigration to energy systems.
Mm-hmm. And how would
all very interesting.
How would you characterize the dialogue right now between California and Mexico?
The dialogue is good. To his credit, Governor Schwarzenegger has made this an issue that he wants to deal with. And so the dialogue is good between the government and the California government and at least Baja California, Sonora. The states over towards Mexico, we really don't deal with them very much. But there are some really important issues. Obviously, Tijuana and San Diego, the border crossings, extremely important issues. When I was insurance commissioner, we were dealing with insurance issues. Californians that wanted to go to Mexico and car insurance, Mexicans that wanted to come to California, and interestingly enough, health care.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these are important relationships, and, you know, Mexico is one of the biggest trading partners with California, Canada being the other one, and then China fits in there.
Right. And so what are some of the concerns that you've been talking with these representatives about, John?
Well, energy issues, for one. Baja California is extremely important to California energy markets. The LNG facility there, the geothermal in Mexicali, that's certainly one. The immigration issues are on everybody's mind. The drug war issues in Mexico are of great importance to us because they do spill over to California. On the other side of that is that, you know, we are getting drugs brought into California, and we're sending back arms, armaments, and some heavy-duty weapons going back and forth, going from from America into Mexico, and then the drug wars escalate in Mexico. So, and we got a common problem on that whole area, and of course the immigration issue being a huge one.
Right. And so how do you dial around the lockdown or the logjam at the federal government level about immigration issues and deal with the current status quo, which, you know, is not ideal for any side?
Well, the current immigration policy of the United States is a non-policy. Other than building a fence on the border, which is okay, not that we're ever going to be successful, but we do need to control our border. But the other elements have to be brought along. The Kennedy McCain proposal, which was a broad reform, really needs to move. It's going to wait until there's a new president and new Congress. The Republicans simply wanted to keep this as a political issue for this fall campaign, but. We got to get beyond that. It's not rational. It makes no sense what we're doing, and we have to deal with that in a rational way. We have to recognize we got, you know, maybe 10 or 11 million illegal immigrants in America. We need to know who they are. We need to document them. Some of them absolutely have to go home. They're breaking the law here, criminal laws and the rest. Others and some will need a path to citizenship. Others. Mm-hmm. Need to be able to go home.
Now, John, you've announced you're the first Democrat to announce for governor in 2010, and I'm curious what your position is on driver's licenses for non-citizens, for those who are undocumented here in California.
Well, it's been my position for several years that it makes a lot of sense for us to figure out a way to get them licensed. It doesn't have to be the standard, it should not be the standard license that citizens get or those who are legally here. It's some sort of documentation so we know who they are, so we know that they know how to drive, they know the rules of the road. We have a fingerprint, we've got a photo,
mm-hmm.
and we've got an address. That makes a lot of sense to me to have that information. And so, okay, the license is not a standard card. You go to Mexico now, you get a driver's license, it'll say non-resident.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, okay. But it makes no sense to me to have millions or hundreds of thousands of people on the roads who we don't know who they are. We don't know whether they know the rules of the road.
And they are uninsured.
For the most part, they are, and yeah, they are uninsured. For the most part, all of them, because you can't get insurance without a license.
Yeah, yeah. So I agree with you there, and I appreciate your clarity on that, because it became a gotcha question in the presidential debates earlier this year.
And, yeah, it really did. You saw how fast they backed away from it.
Well, Bill Richardson was the guy who didn't. He said, I've already signed that law.
Okay. Well, it just makes a whole lot of sense. I understand the emotion behind it, but I also understand, as insurance commissioner, we were always dealing with some uninsured individual,
mm-hmm.
often here illegally, no insurance, auto accidents of one sort or another.
Yeah.
A very common situation.
John Garamendi is with us, California's lieutenant governor. Now, in the past week, the governor has been ratcheting up the pressure, threatening the legislature. At least he's threatening the right people this time, saying that he won't sign any bills until there's a budget. Now, this causes him, you know, problems for the governor himself, because the centerpiece of his very rickety budget scheme this year is to cash out some money from the state lottery, which requires a referendum. And in order for that to get on the ballot in November, I believe the deadline is this Saturday. And so he really has boxed himself in, John, and as we've discussed before, the real problem that he has is with members of his own party in the Senate and the Assembly.
Well, that's exactly right, and I'm actually pleased that he has ratcheted up the pressure, even though a lot of that is on himself. That's okay. He also put the pressure on the legislature, and that's exactly what I said that the governor needed to do when I announced that I wanted to be governor in 2010 election. The governor's got to use the power that he possesses.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those powers is threats of various kinds. And eventually you're going to have to carry out those threats, even though they may be difficult or harmful to your own agenda. But you've got to use that. I understand that there were some fruitful negotiations last night between Senator Corrada and the governor. They have an outline of a deal. The details are extremely important. Because they do deal with the spending limit or a rainy day fund, which done properly can work, but if it's done in an inappropriate way, then you're going to just tie the state in further knot.
Mm-hmm.
It also deals, I understand, with some tax issues, and once again, let's get the details out there. Very, very important that we move this forward, and whatever pressure is necessary, the governor's got to use it. And frankly, you and I've got to use it. We've got to call,
mm-hmm.
bang down the door and say, get this job done.
Well, and what I want to see, I am not flatly opposed to a sales tax increase, John, but that cannot be the only revenue enhancement component.
Well, I agree with you on that. I think that we'd be better off broadening the sales tax rather than increasing the amount of tax paid. Cents per dollar paid. I think we've changed our economy. We've gone from a hard goods service, chairs, furniture, clothing, to a service economy. Other big states, New York, Pennsylvania, Illinois, other big states have broadened their sales tax to include some services. There's a huge and very long list that we could choose from.
And
that also reduces the volatility of the tax and reduces the impact on low-income people.
But, John, I do understand the appeal of taxing services, lawyers, and even people like me. At the same time, practically speaking, that could not go into effect until next year, which would only bring cash into the second half of the fiscal year. Don't we need an immediate fix, and isn't, raising existing taxes the only real way to achieve that?
Well, in both cases, it's going to be the second half of the year, maybe the third quarter in either case. But there are certain categories of the broadening of the sales tax that could go into effect simultaneously with an increase in the sales tax. Both of those take a while to put into effect, at least one quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was done this right now, maybe you can get it in the last quarter of this year. But in both cases, it certainly the full impact would not be felt until the January quarter.
All right, let's take a phone call. Dave in Eureka, you're on the air with the Lieutenant Governor, John Garamendi.
Hey, Peter. John, in recent years, a god-awful amount of our money, tax Treasury money here has been spent on dams and highways and pipelines and infrastructure, infrastructure that never happened. And so I think it's a very relevant question to ask, can't be answered, but to ask, what happened to all the money?
Well, always a relevant question to ask of any governmental service. Was the money spent effectively and efficiently? And you can always question that. And in almost every case, you can say you could have done better, you could have done it more efficiently. But the real problem here is that a good portion of the bond money that was approved by the voters has not been spent at all. It's still locked up, gridlock in Sacramento, specifically the water bond money from the previous election, water flood conservation money, all of that has not been spent at all because it's been tied up in gridlock in the legislature and out of the governor's office. That's where the real problem is. But always, we should always question the efficiency of which any dollar is spent in any governmental program, whether it's an infrastructure program or education program.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that question today. John Garamendi's with us till the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment, you can call in right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. More straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Friar Tuck's Restaurant in Carmel, corner of 5th and Dolores and next to the post office, serves outstanding breakfast and lunch from 7 a.m. Get a full 20% off coupon at friartucksrestaurant.com. Come in early for the largest breakfast served in Carmel. Stay late and enjoy the best root beer float I ever had. Thank you, Friar Tuck's, for 30 years of family enjoyment. Friar Tuck's, great food, great fun.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll try to provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your co-host, along with Mark Leonard. We try to look at current issues from a unique angle and invite our listeners to call in and bring their own different perspective on contemporary affairs. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Radio you can dance to. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and we continue with Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi, Democrat, and the top Democrat in a state constitutional office. And let's see, getting some feedback there. John, you still there?
I'm with you.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah, I'm here.
Cell phones come and go, and you have come back.
Peter, I would never dump you.
No, I know that.
Now, the cell phone company might.
John Garamendi is with us. And, John, my next caller is someone I know you've met, and he's a friend of mine, John Ames, who has been a staunch activist for stem cell research here in California and an advocate on behalf of the families of people who have ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease.
Right.
And his son, David, passed away last month after a five-and-a-half-year struggle with ALS.
Uh-huh. And I didn't know he passed away. He and I did a press conference together.
Yeah.
In San Francisco a year and a half ago. I'm very, very, very sorry to hear that.
Yeah. John, go ahead.
Hello, Lieutenant Governor. This is John, David's dad. And I tend to be a patient advocate and particularly interested in the advances in stem cell. And one of the reasons for the call is that there was a bill up known as the Keel Bill. I'm talking about the legislature. And I don't know if it came to a vote. Those of us in the California Institute of Regenerative Medicine and advocates for development of cures saw the bill as a major negative. And those of us in the orphan disease category were incensed, myself being one of them, to see that there's a emphasis in terms of defunding emphasis trying to find neurodegenerative disease cures. So I don't know what its status is, and that's my question. I know it's a convoluted question.
A question for you is that the bill, in your view, would harm the effort to deal with orphan diseases and neurological diseases?
Yes, it is.
By placing an emphasis on some other kind of disease?
Well, yes, and then de-emphasizing and I think defunding certain areas relative to it. I don't have the papers in square in front of me, and that's I should ask.
Well,
but I don't have the bill or the response from CIRM, which was a very detailed response, and
yeah.
I concur with the response from California.
But when I get back to Sacramento, I really will check it out. But just generally speaking, the legislative body is not a particularly good place to pick winners and losers
right.
in the research field. It's much better left
right.
to scientists who are familiar with the overall programs. And the political process doesn't necessarily deal with science. It deals with
right.
political science and pressure groups one way or another, and it's not a good way to deal with research at all.
Well, and LG, John, one of the issues that I see here is that opponents of stem cell research have used every available means. They tied it up in the courts as long as they could, and now they're trying to use a call for greater oversight to essentially block the progress, and it's stunning. Almost every week now, there are new research reports that show the promise of stem cell research, yet there are people for religious and political reasons who wish to block it, and I believe that the Kuehl bill, while well-intentioned, will have the effect of slowing down research in California as battles over oversight and patent rights and those sorts of things are fought out.
Well, it's very, very clear to me that this whole stem cell research is an extraordinarily important effort to deal with some very serious diseases out there and injuries, spinal injuries, for example, or brain injuries and the like.
it's got to go forward, and any attempt to slow it down, particularly by those opponents, and frankly, this was a big issue in my campaign for Lieutenant Governor. My opponent was opposed to stem cell research, and he was out to stop it. And I was remain very supportive of this issue, and I'll watch it very closely. I'll find out more about the latest version of the Kehoe bill, and when this interview is over, I'll get on the phone and try to find out what's going on.
Great. John Ames, thanks for your call today.
Thank you, and thank you, John.
Okay, great to talk with you. And just one other thing on the stem cell issue, John Garamendi. This is something that's very important to the future of California, because one of the benefits that I see from stem cell research is really understanding what causes disease, and on the flip side, permitting pharmaceutical companies to develop very specific medications that are, specific to my DNA or yours. And this could cause huge savings in healthcare costs in California while extending the life and the value of life, the quality of life for many people.
Well, I agree with all of that. I won't repeat it, but I agree with all of that. And there's more to it, because we really do not know what benefits that are unknown at the moment will come from this research. We're researching things that are extremely, they're far out there. They've not been researched before. There wasn't the money before. The passage of this proposition and the $3 billion is advancing a whole new field of science. And there will be wonderful things that we cannot even imagine now and have no concept of what they may be that will come from this research. In addition to that, as you say, Peter, we will find solutions to illnesses for which there is no cure at the moment. There is no way of dealing with it. And quite possibly find the very targeted ways of dealing with illnesses that exist in us individually.
It's also good for business. We just saw a major pharmaceutical company announce a new site in San Francisco that's going to mean investment and jobs and taxes.
All true.
Yeah.
Correct.
John, I wanted to turn to one other issue of interest to our listeners on the Central Coast and the flagship station, KRXA in Monterey. Fort Ord has finally been transferred into the Fort Ord Reuse Authority. This is more than 3,000 acres there. And there are huge issues of cleanup. There are still some dud bombs left on the property and a lot of toxic materials. Do you support this privatization approach, and do you think that it will make Fort Ord usable and a contributor to the Monterey area faster?
Well, the answer is a categorical yes, with limitations. When I was at the Department of Interior, very interesting history, the Department of Interior was the successor interest to that land after the federal government had decided to close down Fort Ord, the Army base. And so I spent 3 years working on setting up a mechanism to assure the cleanup of the base. Still, you probably know this, Peter, that there's a good portion of the base that is not going to be transferred to private ownership or to public use, because there are unexploded munitions in some portion of that base.
Right.
And it'll take a long while before that gets cleaned up. But it is a good way of doing it, but you've got to do it. It's got to be done carefully so that the use of it is compatible with the community, with the region. And Fort Ord is in a very sensitive area, a very beautiful part of California. There are obviously issues of appropriate development. Those have to be dealt with. So the input of the local community, governmental agencies, and the like is extremely important.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, it is just a portion of it. There's a total of 28,000 acres, and so only 3,300, you do the math, but it's about 10%. But it is some of the choice property that is accessible to the general public, and so I'm hopeful that...
Peter, there's one other thing that happened there, and this is a wonderful example of how bases could be reused. That Army base was immediately turned into a state university.
Right.
Monterey Bay State University grew up more rapidly than any other university because they used the facilities that were already in place. Now, though some of those facilities are aged, they need to be rehabilitated. And as we do that, one of the major things I'm working on with the state university as a trustee of the state university system is let us build these facilities to the highest green standards possible, so they really conserve energy. Monterey Bay is going to be an example of what can be done as we refurbish and rebuild these campuses.
John Garamendi, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining me today.
Take care, Peter B.
California's Lieutenant Governor on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, with a great offer to introduce you to our exceptional French organic wines. When you buy our red Chateau Véronique and our white Viognier, both from the Languedoc, I will include our sparkling Blanquette de Limoux, and I will deliver them to your door for free. That's right, you buy two bottles, I give you one bottle free, and I'll pay for all the shipping. So go to my website at ecowine.com, that is ECOWINE.com, to get your free bottle of wine and free shipping today.
This is Peter B., and I've tasted quite a few of Véronique's wines. They're really impressive. And this offer, with one bottle free and free shipping, is a great way for you to sample these fine organic wines and support the Peter B. Collins Show, too. Log on now to ecowine.com/Peter B. That's www.ecowine.com/Peter B. Or call them at 888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. The president pushes back in Georgia.
Russia must keep its word and act to end this crisis.
A gunman kills the top Democrat in Arkansas.
All I know is he came in and went in this office and started shooting.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. With Russian forces apparently violating the ceasefire in Georgia, President Bush has raised the stakes in this showdown. He's sending Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice on a diplomatic mission and...
also directed Secretary of Defense Bob Gates to begin a humanitarian mission to the people of Georgia headed by the United States military. This mission will be vigorous and ongoing.
Georgian President Mikhail Saakashvili, in an interview for the CBS Evening News, said Russia has not kept its word to halt military operations.
Russians have been encroaching upon the capital. They've been boosting their forces around us. They blocked the main bloodline, the main roads connecting capital to the seaports. They've shut down our civilian seaports. They've shut down our international airports.
Saakashvili, who's conferred with Mr. Bush, says U.S. forces will take control of Georgia's seaports and airports, quote, to conduct humanitarian and other missions. CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier has the latest from the Pentagon.
It looks like the Russian troops have settled in for a good long stay, according to the defense officials I've spoken to here. Their latest intelligence is that the troops are garrisoning. They are setting up camp in Abkhazia, in South Ossetia, and in Gori.
That gives the Russians control of the main east-west highway and allows them to threaten the capital.
I'm Dan Revive in Washington. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is heading to France to coordinate mediation efforts. Then she'll go to Georgia to show solidarity with that country. No trip to Moscow. And Rice, an expert on Russian history, says...
things have changed.
Adding it's not 1968 when Soviet Russia invaded Czechoslovakia.
Where Russia can threaten its neighbors, occupy a capital, overthrow a government, and get away with it.
Rice said candidates Obama and McCain both support Bush administration policy on the Georgia crisis.
Now this.
Hi, we're Shadazy.
Now, being on tour is great, but after 23 days, we can't wait to get home
and to our own Sleep Number beds. The tougher your days, the more you deserve a Sleep Number night. It's the only bed that lets you adjust your Sleep Number setting at the touch of a button. A higher Sleep Number setting for more firmness, a lower number for softer support. And since every day is different, you can always find your perfect Sleep Number anytime. Because the most comfortable sleep is the one you control yourself. The difference a Sleep Number bed makes every night. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com to find any one of our 450 stores. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts. Enjoy cool summer savings on all Sleep Number beds. Twin mattresses start at only $449. Hurry in. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com today for a store near you.
There is no explanation for what happened in Little Rock today. Police Lieutenant Terry Hastings says a 51-year-old man barged into the office of State Democratic Chairman Bill Guatney.
He pulled out a handgun and shot Chairman Guatney several times. He then turned and left the business.
Guatney died in the hospital 4 hours later, and after a 30-mile chase, State Police spokesman Bill Sadler says they stopped the gunman.
The suspect exited his pickup truck and produced a weapon, and we believe did fire at officers who returned fire at the scene.
The as-yet-unidentified man was killed. Bill and Hillary Clinton have issued a statement calling Gwatney a cherished friend and confidant. Taliban fighters in Afghanistan have started targeting Western aid workers. Three women and their Afghan driver were killed when their clearly marked vehicles were ambushed on a road south of Kabul. They worked for the New York-based International Rescue Committee.
We are an impartial organization. We have no political affiliations whatsoever. We're there strictly on a humanitarian basis, and this is just an outrageous, outrageous tragedy.
Vice President Michael Coker says they're suspending operations in Afghanistan. A Taliban spokesman says the women were spies and not working in the best interests of Afghanistan. At the Summer Games, the sixth day of Olympic competition will soon begin.
This is Steve Futterman in Beijing. Michael Phelps will rest today, sort of. He has no final events. His only competition is a semifinal heat in the 200-meter individual medley. Phelps shouldn't have any trouble qualifying for the final. He's the world record holder in the event.
Phelps fuels his body with an incredible 12,000 calories a day. Eat, sleep, and swim, he says. That's all I can do. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Imagine what your life would be like if over half your credit card debt was gone. You don't have to imagine life without credit card debt. You can call Financial Freedom of America for a free, no-obligation debt consultation. Their friendly staff will show you how they can wipe out 30 to 60% of your credit card bills. Not available in all states. The call is free. The consultation is free. Call 800-768-9617. 800-768-9617. Don't wait another minute. Call 800-768-9617.
What is the economy made of, I ask you? I'll tell you. It's made of pennies. Little perfect circles of metal that combine to form the very backbone of our nation's commercial life. A gigantic copper foundation upon which capitalism is built. To disregard the penny is to disregard America itself.
Office Max loves pennies. Right now, get great back-to-school deals like rulers and folders for 1 cent each. Go back to school for pennies at Office Max. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Attention, listeners on KGOE 1480 in Eureka. Coming up later this hour, you get a Giants baseball game. So don't assume that Carl Rove cut the cable or nothing like that, okay? He's too busy avoiding testifying before the House Judiciary Committee.
Well, the train, the grinder switch is running right on time, and the Tucker boys are cooking down in Carolina. People down in Florida can't be still when Leonard Skinner's picking down in Jacksonville. People down in Georgia come from near and far to hear Richard Best picking on that red guitar. So get around.
Charlie, can you get right on down to Mississippi, please?
We're just getting down, chillin', getting loud.
Go ahead, put a pinch between your cheek and gum and tell me something about Mississippi, will ya?
You be proud, yeah, and I'll be proud. You will, because the South don't do it again and again.
That's Charlie Daniels, a right-wing country rocker. And the South's going to do it again. Well, if it is a politically motivated railroad prosecution, then perhaps the South has done it again. Scott Horton joins us this half hour. He is an attorney and an activist, and he writes for Harper's Magazine. And he, together with Larissa Alexandrovna, our friend from RawStory.com, are the champions of Don Siegelman, the former Democratic governor of Alabama, who was behind bars and is out on bail now, challenging his conviction on appeal, and fingering Karl Rove and other cronies for his misguided prosecution. Scott, welcome back to our program today.
Hey, great to be with you, Peter.
And I want you to explain to our listeners who Wes Teal is and why you believe he is a political prisoner right here in this country.
Well, Wes Teal was a chancery court judge down in Mississippi, down the Gulf Coast, and he was a Democrat. Mississippi is one of the 8 states where judges are by and large elected, not appointed, are vetted through some sort of review and confirmation process with the legislature.
So even at the Chancery Court sounds like a municipal court. Is it?
Well, Chancery Court usually deals with family law matters, divorces, property settlements, things like that, and equity cases. So it would deal with will contests. And certain sorts of relief. So it's not your main core litigation court, specialty court.
Mm-hmm. And why did West Teal end up in the sights of prosecutors? Was it because of his relationship with Paul Miner?
Well, Wes, when I interviewed him in Jackson, Mississippi, before he went off to prison, he told me, I really feel like collateral damage here. That is, they were going gunning for Paul Miner, and they decided to get at him through me, because West Teal was one of a group of judges who received campaign donations from Paul Miner.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was pretty simple. It was going into the 2003 elections. Mississippi is, off 1 year from other states. They're an odd year election state. The judicial elections were revving up. And the Bush Justice Department decided to go after the major campaign contributors to the Democratic Party in Mississippi. By far, the major campaign contributors there were trial attorneys. Now, Mississippi, we think of usually as a bright red state, right? But actually, for much of the last 20 years, Mississippi has had a Democratic governor and a Democratic attorney general. Ronnie Musgrove, who's well known, for instance, was the governor, they have been on the forefront of the anti-tobacco litigation, for instance. You may remember the 60 Minutes story that was done in the movie that was done out of it, which turned on litigation that was launched by the Attorney General of Mississippi.
And that was
a key turning point that led to major victories against the tobacco industry.
And let's pause for a moment to note that many people, I believe you included, I believe that many of the efforts to pack the courts with pro-business and conservative Republican judges, and those descriptors apply to the same people, that this is a movement driven by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, by the political interests of Rove and the Bush administration, and that because of that tobacco settlement, they launched an offensive to reorder the courts, if we can put it that way, in favor of business and to prevent a massive settlement like this from ever occurring again.
Well, this isn't any speculation. This is well documented. In fact, the radical left-wing publication that documented this entire process was the Wall Street Journal. A series of major articles. They looked into, where was the money coming from that was fueling this massive campaign to elect Republican right-wing judges to the courts in Mississippi and Alabama. And in other states, and they discovered it was coming from the Chamber of Commerce and very heavily coming from the tobacco industry, but not just the tobacco industry.
Mm-hmm.
Karl Rove was right in the middle of this process from the beginning, very close to it. Bill Canary, a guy we know from the Siegelman case, was deeply enmeshed in it. And a man named Haley Barbour was probably front and center driving the process.
Haley Barbour, the former Republican National Committee chairman.
And the man who that year was seeking to be elected governor of Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
So Haley Barbour and Karl Rove had decided they were going to have a Mississippi makeover. They were going to put the Republicans in control of the courts, and they were going to take back the state house from the Democrats. So they decided to go after the major funders of the Democratic Party, go after people and lawyers particularly who were very close to the governor and the attorney general and so forth. And they launched this massive litigation, which targeted specifically a man named Paul Miner. Paul Miner can be distinguished by one thing. He was the largest single donor to the Democratic Party in Mississippi. And there is no question about it right now. That's the reason he was criminally investigated and prosecuted. It was designed to shut down funding for the Democratic Party in their election effort, and it had the desired effect, because the collections of the Democratic Party dropped off 75% between that election and the next one, and that's a direct result of the Department of Justice prosecutions.
And Scott Horton, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Paul Miner was convicted. He is serving a sentence, and the judge has not permitted him to visit his dying wife. Do I have that right?
That's exactly right. I mean, in fact, a number of blogs by some very conservative law professors recently described the behavior of the judge and particularly the prosecutors here, the Department of Justice, is utterly disgraceful. This is a man who has been sentenced to prison and put in prison for campaign funding violations. That's the serious crime he's guilty of. I mean, actually, he's guilty of being a Democrat. That's the reason he was prosecuted. His wife is dying of brain cancer, now in her last days, and he pleaded for relief to go be able to see his wife before she died. And to this, the Bush Justice Department says no. They say, we are not required to show compassion. That's a quote from the brief they submitted to the court.
Wow. Whatever happened to that compassionate conservative crowd?
Well, what they're showing is not compassion. They're showing a political vindictive spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's going on is this is Republican officials going after a man they see as, you know, the well of the Democratic Party in their state. They view him as a threat. They view him as a political threat.
And this gets a little complicated for people because we don't have flashcards here to identify all of the characters. But, Scott, we also have the connection here of Richard Scruggs, a very well-known trial lawyer there in the South. And he has been prosecuted as well. Now, in the Scruggs case, I've read a little bit about that, and it seems that he really did cross the line and attempted to bribe a judge.
Well, I think there's no question about it. Dickie Scruggs is guilty of trying to bribe a judge. He's confessed to it, and the evidence of it was quite overwhelming. And now Dickie Scruggs was very, very close to Paul Miner here, and then the facts that form sort of the basis of the prosecution of Paul Miner, the strange thing was that the man who was actually arranging and setting everything up was Dickie Scruggs. It was not Paul Miner. Paul Miner was on the side. And an FBI agent who was involved in the investigation at one point said, what's going on here? I don't understand. This man, Dickie Scruggs, is obviously the guy who did all this, if it's a crime, which most people still don't think it is. But if it's a crime, why aren't we charging him? To which the answer was, because Dickie Scruggs gave $250,000 to the Bush-Cheney campaign.
Hmm.
And Dickie Scruggs is the brother-in-law of Trent Lott, who, you know, during much of this period was the Senate majority leader, certainly the Senate Republican leader.
Right.
So he was being protected by the Republican Party. So I think the failure to prosecute Scruggs, just like the prosecution of Miner, shows how transparently political and partisan the entire process was from the beginning. And by the way, that FBI agent who raised a ruckus about what was going on, they ordered him to shut up. And then they put him on a transport to Gitmo for 2 years.
Oh, my.
So he would be out of contact with the media.
So bring us back now to Wes Teal, a fairly small fish, a chancery court judge. What did he do that caused a prosecution?
Well, the allegation in the case of Wes Teal is that he took money from Paul Miner indirectly because Miner had guaranteed a campaign loan he made. And then he participated in deciding a case that Paul Miner had an interest in as an attorney. And this case was a litigation involving an insurance company. And in fact, Wes Teal didn't decide the case. The case was settled between the insurance company and Paul Miner's client, a bank. And the insurance company came back later and said, well, you know, but for this corruption between Wes Teal and Paul Miner, we never would have entered into this settlement agreement, which I have to say, you know, every law professor I've showed this to just shakes their head in utter disbelief. That's the most cockeyed, ridiculous claim I've ever seen. Because, of course, the insurance company had every right to pursue its claim to the end of the day. They knew that the key issue in the case was going up to the Mississippi Supreme Court and was going to be decided there in any event, and they were taking a calculated risk, a calculated gamble that the case was going to go against them. In fact, the case went for them. So they made the wrong decision in entering into the settlement. And in fact, the orientation of West Teal had nothing to do with it. This was going to be decided in the Supreme Court. They knew that. So this is just, you know, cockamamie lunacy that forms the basic script of the criminal complaint that the federal government brings. Now, when this comes,
let me stop you there, Scott. Scott, I'm sorry, I got to stop for a break. I'm running a little late here. We'll pick up there in just a moment. Scott Horton is with us. He's an attorney. He writes for Harper's, and we're talking about the case in Mississippi of West Teal. More coming up in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
I'm Nate Nix, checking traffic on KRXA, and not a whole lot going on for you this afternoon. We have one accident being reported by the CHP right now. Greenfield area, Royal Seco Road at Elm Avenue. Big rig and a pickup truck mixed it up. That had lanes blocked at one point. It looks like they've been moved off to the side, and CHP is on the scene. Earlier problem, Santa Cruz Mountain, southbound 17 after the summit. Vehicle on fire. That's been put out. It may be off to the right-hand shoulder, still waiting for a flatbed tow truck to take away what's left. Otherwise, 17, no problems for you. You will see that slow traffic when you go from South 17 onto Southbound 1 in Santa Cruz. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, as always, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hear ye! Hear ye! The Colts court's in session. The court's in session. Now, here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Here come the judge.
We continue with Scott Horton. He's an attorney. He teaches law at Columbia, and he writes for Harper's Magazine. And we're talking about another miscarriage of justice in the Deep South, the case of Wes Teel, T-E-E-L, former Chancery Court judge in coastal Mississippi. And just as a matter of reference, he was sentenced to 5 years, 10 months, which is longer than Osama's driver got at the Gitmo Kangaroo Court. And that's really pretty offensive when you consider the context that Scott has offered us here. And, Scott, I had to cut you off as we were going to a break. Do you remember your thought that you'd like to complete?
Well, that's right. I'm just going to tell the course of this trial. So the first trial came to a hung jury, and one of the defendants was acquitted. Second go-round, the federal judge handling the case suddenly changed his rulings on a whole series of issues to deny Teel's defense. He refused to allow Teel to put in evidence defending himself in the case, only ruled against Teel. Those were all the changes that were made as a way of, I think, ensuring that Teel would be convicted. And I discovered later what was going on here is in the lead up to this case, the Justice Department had gone to this judge and told him, you're under consideration for promotion to the Court of Appeals. So what was going on here? You know, this was a case about, effectively, judicial corruption. How is it being pursued by the Department of Justice? Through corruption of the judiciary.
Yeah.
Astonishing. Now, only in the world of George W. Bush.
And let me ask you, Scott, for any similarities here, we do have Donica Lampton, a U.S. attorney of questionable ethics, and I'm just curious, do we have any burned cars, Republican whistleblowers, or stolen elections? And I'm referring to the threads of the Siegelman case in neighboring Alabama.
All of those things, again. In fact, Dunlampton is now the target of two different ethics investigations going on within the Department of Justice and the Office of Special Counsel. Actually, now I think there's a third ethics investigation based on improper and potentially criminal conduct he engaged in pursuing these cases. But, you know, we start with the background. Donica Lampton actually was deeply involved in the campaigns of judges running against the judges he was prosecuting. Hmm. He, in fact, was responsible. One of them was his close protege. He campaigned for him and contributed to the campaign. So did the principal FBI agent who was handling the investigation. Under the clear-cut Department of Justice ethics rules, these people could not have been involved in this prosecution, yet they ran it.
Well, and we know Attorney General Mukasey will not be prosecuting them. And,
he will not. And Attorney General Mukasey made a statement yesterday. I was present at an ABA meeting in New York.
Yeah.
He said any case where there's any evidence that a prosecutor has brought a case for political purposes, there will be swift and decisive action. You know, to which I can say, bull.
Yeah.
There are any number of cases now already well documented, some of them already established through internal investigations of the Department of Justice. And what has he done? Absolutely nothing. In fact, the main point he made in the speech yesterday was, I will not prosecute anyone on account of this misconduct.
Yeah.
They have a free ride. That's the Mukasey view. And this Dunlampton, one other thing just to note here, he was on the list of U.S. attorneys to be fired. And then he brought these prosecutions. And then he disappeared from the list of U.S. attorneys to be fired.
Wow. I wonder, I wonder about Pat Fitzgerald on that same score. Well,
Fitzgerald didn't go far enough right now, and I think he's got to be questioning his own decision not to go after Dick Cheney because he had the evidence.
Yeah, and I was disappointed that the Court of Appeals threw out the civil suit, and hopefully that will be appealed to an on-bank. We'll see where it goes from there. Scott Horton, what should my listeners do to try to free Wes Teel?
Well, they should write. I mean, I think it would be appropriate for them to address a letter to the Department of Justice, to the Office of Professional Responsibility, to the Inspector General's Office of the Department of Justice, demanding that they deal with this case. The name is Westeel.
Right.
And say, you know, this is clearly a political prosecutions. Department of Justice needs to realize what it's done and take remedial measures. And Wes Steele should be set free. And not to mention Paul Miner, who should have an opportunity to see his wife before she dies.
Yeah. Scott, thanks for championing these cases. I really appreciate it.
Hey, great to be with you.
Scott Horton here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KGOE is going to break for a Giants baseball game coming up next. You can catch the rest of the show live on the stream. The link is at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Cold War, the next generation. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. 60 years after the Berlin airlift, the U.S. will mount the Tbilisi airlift to show its support of the Republic of Georgia.
A U.S. C-17 aircraft with humanitarian supplies is on its way. We expect Russia to honor its commitment to let in all forms of humanitarian assistance.
And you can also be pretty sure the Democrats in Congress will realize how dumb it was to oppose more offshore drilling and finally change their minds. Because what's made Russia strong is that it's got access to its own oil, and we don't. And solar-powered tanks are still a few years off. What interesting times we have inherited. Russia practicing domination by tank, China practicing domination by conformity, and the U.S. stuck in the middle. Still trying to figure out where Georgia is on the one hand, and trying to decide whether China's synchronized diving team is cute or just plain scary on the other hand. One thing, though, I think is pretty clear. This turn of events does not hurt John McCain. Between Russia's testosterone and China's cheerful, synchronized factory workers, we now face a couple of very large countries who are clearly playing for keeps and who don't accept the idea that the United States will forever be the only superpower. Barack Obama's emphasis on negotiation played pretty well when it was about smaller countries like Iran, but the idea that a stern sit-down with Vladimir Putin is somehow going to make him wet his pants? I don't think so. You remember not too long ago when Iraq and Afghanistan seemed so darned important? Who imagined that those would be the good old days? Now this.
Somewhere in the frozen Montana wilderness, there's a stranger who rescues accident victims. Female accident victims. He saves their lives, heals their injuries, nurtures them back to health, then slowly, mercilessly, leaves them to die.
Left to Die. From New York Times bestselling author Lisa Jackson comes her most twisted serial killer yet. Left to Die by Lisa Jackson. On sale now.
This is Dave Ross of the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Live.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're having computer meltdowns here today at the secret studios where we originate our broadcast every day. Ah, it's cooperating. I hate PCs, by the way. I don't do Windows. This half hour, we're going to talk about some environmental issues, including another effort to eviscerate the Endangered Species Act. The wrecking crew in Washington working on it before they head out. But before we get to that issue, there's a bit of a victory to celebrate. Because the Navy has agreed to restrict loud sonar blasts from anti-submarine vessels here in the Pacific.
When my grandpa was a boy, he went down to the general store, saw a picture book of a whale shooting its spout and flashing its tail. And he got a sailor's dream about cruising around on a salty sea, joining up with a fishing crew to go out and get a whale or two. Tell me what kind of men are these that sail upon the salty seas, up in a rig in an afternoon, swabbing the deck with a shark and harpoon. Hooray, up she rises, hooray, up she rises, hooray, up she rises.
Now, we have discussed this before. It's been a battle between the Bush administration and federal courts as the administration attempted to bigfoot the courts and say, oh, we've got to allow the Navy to use these sonar tests along the California coast, and we don't care what it does to the whales.
There were no whales to save. Now we can thank the companies scouring the deep blue seas, looking for ivory and perfume and oil to light your living room.
In a settlement announced on Tuesday, the Navy can use low-frequency sonar only near the Philippines and Japan, with seasonal restrictions, and in another region 50 miles north and south of Hawaii, but not along the California coastline, particularly near San Diego, where migrating patterns brought the whales in contact with this annoying and, I guess, damaging low-frequency sonar. Go out and hug a whale. We'll all feel better. Now, to talk about the efforts to undermine the Endangered Species Act, we turn to Carla Reddick, Legislative Representative for Wildlife Conservation at the National Wildlife Federation, and she represents the NWF on endangered species issues before Congress and federal agencies, and she used to practice public interest environmental litigation. Oh, she used to sue the bad guys. Is that the right way to put it, Carla?
That's precisely the way to put it, yes.
Welcome to our program today.
Thank you very much for having me.
And we thought that when Californians geared up and dispatched Richard Pombo into that great graft center...
Which was a great victory.
After you leave Congress, that was going to fix things, because he was the guy who, as head of the Interior Committee in the House, was determined to overturn and just deep six the Endangered Species Act. And that's what angered Pete McCloskey, the guy who came out of retirement. He served in Congress back in the 60s and 70s. He helped write the Endangered Species Act, and he was so angry at Pombo that he came out of retirement, challenged him in the primary, and that softened Pombo up for the ultimate defeat that was delivered by Jerry McNerney. But we have to expect that the wrecking crew, and by the way, Thomas Frank does not own that phrase. His new book is titled that, and he's going to be joining us next week on the program to talk about it. But I've been referring to the appointees at the cabinet posts in Washington by this administration as the wrecking crew for some time. And, Carla, what do they have in mind now to try to undermine the Endangered Species Act?
Well, as you said, they tried to undermine the Endangered Species Act through legislation to change the law, and they couldn't get that through. So instead, in the last days of their administration, they're proposing changes to what's called the consultation requirements of the Endangered Species Act. And those requirements are really a crucial safety net for endangered and threatened species. They say that when a federal agency, for example, the Corps of Engineers, the Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, when they want to do something that's going to potentially impact endangered or threatened species, they have to ensure that the species will be okay by getting an independent scientific review from Fish and Wildlife Service or the National Marine Fisheries Service, depending on whether it's a marine species or a land species.
Mm-hmm.
So now, instead of having that independent review, the agencies can make a determination that whatever they're going to undertake isn't, like, for example, a logging project or permitting people to fill in wetlands that have some environmental impact. The agencies themselves who are wanting to do the project can now say, oh, we're not going to hurt species, and not have that independent review from the scientists of the expert agencies of Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service, something that's called self-consultation. And, you know, it's not a good idea to have the agencies that want to do the projects and push through the projects decide whether they're going to hurt species or not without anybody looking.
Now, how could that be a problem? A developer or a resource extractor goes into a meeting with himself or perhaps herself and says, you know, my business is more important than a spotted owl or a, you know, a nappy-headed frog. I don't know all these critters. But what could possibly be wrong with that, Carla? I mean, after all, we've allowed the coal-fired power generators in this country to voluntarily reduce their emissions.
Right. I mean, the agencies themselves, and, you know, for example, Forest Service or Corps of Engineers, they'll still be looking at the project if it's going to be a permitting project, but they really don't have the incentive that the agencies that are supposed to be protecting fish and wildlife have. The agencies are the ones permitting and working with the groups. And then on the other hand, you have the agencies who want to do a project themselves, and then they have absolutely no incentive to find that their projects are going to impact species.
Now let me ask you this. In a more ideal world, where those who are appointed, say, to the Department of Interior, take seriously their obligations to be regulators and not just patsies for the industries that they're supposed to regulate, if that process were working properly, would you be comfortable with this kind of self-consultation? Or do you think it's out of bounds no matter who is populating these departments?
It's really out of bounds no matter who is populating the departments. The Endangered Species Act contemplates that for an independent review, and that's just a good idea, to have agencies that have the expertise in biological sciences and who are dealing with these issues on a regular basis to at least look over. I mean, not to say that there aren't great people in those agencies and doing good work, but the whole point is to have a check and a balance on that, those projects. And there's really nothing wrong with having that balance in check. There are complaints that it might take a long time or cumbersome, but a lot of those complaints stem from the fact that the Congress and Bush administration have been starving the agencies and don't give them appropriate resources to do their job.
Mm-hmm. Now, Carla, you work for a nonprofit, so I won't draw you into political positions. But one of the fears here, I assume, is that it's possible that we might have a Republican administration next year, and that if these agency-level rules and policies are changed now, that a Republican administration would not change them back. We would have some hope under a Democratic administration that the same process used to impose these administrative changes could lead to them being revoked.
And that's correct. And today, actually, Obama came out and said that he doesn't support these provisions, and McCain gave no comment. So from our perspective, we're definitely hoping that whatever administration comes in after January would revisit these rules if they're going to be finalized by the time the Bush administration leaves. And what we're hoping very much is to elevate this issue, to get it public scrutiny so that they don't get finalized by December and they just fade away. I would say that one of the more disturbing parts of this is that we, National Wildlife Federation, had a draft leaked document of the proposals And by the time the Interior Department finalized that draft and put it out for public comment this week, they had cut the public comment period from 60 days to 30 days. And they're also not taking email comments. You know, and they're doing it in August when Congress is out, when people are on vacations. And so they're really trying to slip this by.
Yeah, but Carla, you know, you guys are so negative. I mean, the original proposal was to cut the public comment period down to 20 minutes.
Yeah, now at least we have 30 days. Yes, it's an incredibly short comment period, and they're trying to justify it by saying they're very narrow changes, but it really is a total rewrite of the consultation provisions of the ESA.
Carla Rettig is with us from the National Wildlife Federation. If you have a question or comment about the Endangered Species Act or about the maneuvers that the Bush administration is attempting, now's the time to call toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, let's go back in the Wayback Machine to the year 2000 when we're in the final days of the Clinton administration with a Republican Congress. And Clinton who was at the Department of Interior then? Secretary
Abbott.
Abbott, there we go. Thank you very much. Anyway, they were they imposed the roadless rule, which was a ban on the building of new roads on undeveloped tracts of federal forests. And that was originally thrown out by a judge in 2003, and it's been subjected to additional litigation. And that same rule was once again invalidated by a federal judge in Wyoming just yesterday. Earth Justice is planning to appeal that. But this is the kind of bureaucratic ping pong that can go on for almost forever. Right, Carla?
Correct. And one thing I'd say about the roadless rule, it came out in the waning days of the Clinton administration, and that's, you know, it's fairly typical for administrations to try to do what they can't get through, you know, in the waning days. But that actually had extensive public comment periods. It was subjected to public scrutiny in a way that the Bush administration is trying to get things through in the dark, mm-hmm. And trying to keep the public out of it. But definitely the last minute type of regulations for the roadless rule or this in the ESA gutting in this case is definitely going to be litigated. I mean, there's no question it's going to be litigated if it doesn't get rolled back by the next administration. And we feel very confident that the provisions that they're recommending are contrary to the Endangered Species Act and will be thrown out in court. And so it's just really a waste of time.
Now, this may be a curveball, Carla, and just, wave it away if so. But we saw earlier this year what I consider to be a feint by the House and the Senate, where they amended the FISA law to say that it was the sole law that regulates domestic wiretapping in this country. The problem was that the FISA law already said that. And so I'm curious, is there some effort to try to make the Endangered Species Act the sole regulatory framework for designations of endangered species? Is there a way to cement that in a way that enhances its legal stature as it currently stands?
Well, any regulations that an administration enacts has to be in compliance with the statute, or they're going to get tossed out in court. You know, they can't rewrite the statute in congressional words through the regulatory process. So, I many agencies give it their very best try. So whatever they do has to be in compliance with the statute, and they're not doing that here. There's really, you know, we could propose definitions and get them through Congress that make it much more clear and would revoke these regulations, but that's just not likely to happen anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
So that we're with the Endangered Species Act where it is. It's a very good law, and they're just not complying with the words that Congress wrote.
Mm-hmm.
There is, in terms of congressional action on this type of rule that's so clearly contrary to the statute, there are opportunities for Congress to put some wording in an appropriations bill.
Right, the funding.
The continuing resolution, and, you know, express their displeasure, prohibit any funds funds from being expended on this type of waste of time rulemaking.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, with where things stand on the Hill, it's going to be a battle to have that happen.
We're going to take a break and return with Carla Rettig from the National Wildlife Federation. If you have a comment about the Endangered Species Act, give us a call, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Podcasts are available on demand. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
I'm Nate Nix, checking traffic on KRXA, and not a whole lot going on for you this afternoon. We have one accident being reported by the CHP right now. Greenfield area, Royal Seco Road at Elm Avenue. A big rig and a pickup truck mixed it up. That had lanes blocked at one point. It looks like they've been moved off to the side, and CHP is on the scene. Earlier problem, Santa Cruz Mountain, southbound 17 after the summit. Vehicle on fire. That's been put out. It may be off to the right-hand shoulder, still waiting for a flatbed tow truck to take away what's left. Otherwise, 17, no problems for you. You will see that slow traffic when you go from South 17 on to Southbound 1 in Santa Cruz. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, as always, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Cindy Sheehan will be speaking at the Vets Hall in Santa Cruz at 7 p.m. on Thursday, August 14th. Are you angry at Nancy Pelosi for telling America that impeachment is off the table and for scheduling votes to continue funding the war on the people of Iraq and to authorize spying on Americans by the Bush administration? Join Cindy Sheehan Thursday, August 14th at the Veterans Memorial Building on Front Street in downtown Santa Cruz at 7 p.m. Browse to vetshall.org for more information. This event is sponsored by the Green Party of Monterey County.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Nature's waiting, you something wrong. Nature's waiting, you in a song. Nature's will be saving you.
We're talking with Carla Rettig from the National Wildlife Federation, lead editorial in Wednesday's New York Times, is entitled An Endangered Act. A couple of quotes. The Bush administration has never masked its distaste for most environmental laws or its ambitions to thwart Congress's will. Now, in its waning months, it is trying to undermine the Endangered Species Act. This week, Interior Secretary Kemp Thorne proposed a regulatory overhaul that would eliminate the requirement for independent scientific reviews. Instead, federal agencies would decide on their own whether the projects, including constructions of highways and dams, pose a threat, and then move ahead if they determined there is no problem. The dangers of self-consultation should be obvious. The Bureau of Reclamation likes to build dams. The Department of Transportation likes to build highways. Protecting endangered species is not their priority. Well, this is a pretty strong editorial, Carla, and I'm just curious, are we hearing from the either the what is that called? It's the religious group, the religious philosophy, that we basically need to use up our natural resources so we can bring about Armageddon. The wise use movement, that's what they euphemistically call themselves. Have they weighed in on this matter?
I haven't heard from the wise any quotes from the wise use movement, specifically a group called the National Endangered Species Reform Coalition has weighed in, and they're supportive. I mean, they would rather the regulations go much further in revamping the ESA, but in general, that group is composed of industry groups, logging, extractive industries, mining, and they're pretty excited by the fact that they might be able to get these regulations through in the final days.
Mm-hmm. And how do you see this shaping up? And if you wanted to enlist my listeners, who should they be talking to and raising their objections about Kemp Thorne's plan?
Well, definitely to Kemp Thorne during the public comment period, which should be starting tomorrow. I mean, it's been an unusual sequence for timing. The Interior Department, I think, was going to wait even a little bit longer before letting the public see the draft and what they were proposing. But because it was leaked, they moved that time up and then shortened the time for public comment period. But it's going to be starting this week, and you can write to Secretary Kemp Thorne and express the displeasure and that he's proposing something that so clearly violates the law. We have 30 days. We're obviously going to push for a longer period of time for those comments to be submitted.
Mm-hmm.
And on our homepage, the NWF.org, we will have the ways that those comments can be submitted. As I said, they're not being allowed to be submitted via email, which is really quite outrageous. There is a web form that people can fill out, however.
Well, so what they're saying is that people can comment, but they need to cut down trees to do it. You can't send an electronic message.
Well, they could do it on a web form, but that's not nearly as easy and accessible for many people as just writing an email.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to go through some hoops, and people that care passionately want to be able to put their emails in. I've never seen this before. I've never seen the fact that they wouldn't accept email comments, something so easy and so simple. So it's obviously designed to cut the public out.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, it's very important to let your legislative representatives, your congressional representatives know as well that this is a very important issue, because there are roles that Congress can take. They could potentially do something in an appropriations bill, but they could also hold oversight hearings. And in fact, Senator Boxer has indicated that when Congress comes back in September, there will be hearings on this proposal. So we're very much hoping that that Congress will hear from their constituents that this is really not okay, and they need to get involved and show oversight of the administration.
Mm-hmm.
And protect the laws that they wrote.
And Carla, with this in mind, does the Wrecking Crew have any other late-term surprises for us here?
I'm sure they will. You know, I don't know. We just don't know what's in their mind. This one was a surprise. In fact, it was a surprise to many people in the agencies. It was written by the lawyers in the Interior Department, and many of the regional offices had no idea that it was coming out. So it was a surprise. So I'm sure that they're cooking up more, and we will see not just environmental regulations, but regulations in anything that would make it much easier to gut the laws that they've been wanting to gut congressionally. They're going to be doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
Regulatorily. So I think this is just the tip of the iceberg.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add? We've got about 30 seconds, Carla.
Well, just that this really, it's going to be important to watch the administration in these next 5 months and be very involved, even though people are caught up in elections and caught up in other areas, the Olympics right now. The administration is using that to get things through that the public really doesn't want to have happen.
The Olympics are going on?
That's what I hear. I haven't been able to watch them yet.
Oh, I've only got 5 gold medals so far, but I'm working on it.
Congratulations.
Carla, thank you very much. Your website, nwf.org, the National Wildlife Federation. We've been talking with Carla Reddick. Thank you, Carla.
Thank you.
Coming up next, it's the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome, and we'll kick things off with a conversation with Will Bauer, one of those pumas. Can't let go of the Clinton candidacy. What will they do in Denver a week and a half away? That's my question. We'll find an answer coming up next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy 2 bottles, you get 1 bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. An elderly woman is rescued from a bombed-out building in South Ossetia, the disputed region where the conflict between Georgia and Russia began. Russian forces soon penetrated Georgia itself, but President Mikhail Saakashvili, encouraged by support from Washington, vows to hang tough.
No matter how you bomb us, no matter how many of us you kill, no matter how you want to terrorize us, we will never give our freedom. Georgia will never, ever surrender.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, where President Bush ordered the Pentagon to deliver humanitarian aid to Georgia, but Press Secretary Dana Perino dismisses talk of U.S. military engagement in the conflict.
That's way premature and hypothetical and speculative, and nothing that I would comment on.
Perino says the U.S. focus is on getting a ceasefire to take hold, but when pressed on an American military role, she said she's not ruling anything in or out.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is traveling to Paris and then on to Tbilisi in search of a diplomatic solution. Russia's foreign minister complains that Washington said nothing when Georgian forces attacked South Ossetia and says President Bush is now playing a dangerous game. A gunman invaded the Little Rock offices of the Arkansas Democratic Party today and opened fire.
The victim has been identified. It is Chairman Bill Guatney. He passed away at about 3:59 this afternoon.
Lieutenant Terry Hastings. Guatney was a prominent businessman and former state senator who would have been a superdelegate at the Democratic National Convention.
His loss is truly going to be grieved by everyone in this state.
Little Rock Mayor Mark Stadola. The gunman's motive isn't known. He was killed in a shootout with police after a 30-mile chase. BMW is recalling about 200,000 vehicles over concerns that the front passenger airbag may not deploy in a crash. The recall involves the 2006 3 Series, the 2004 and through 2006 5 Series, and the 2004 through 2006 X3 compact sport utility vehicles. The German automaker says no injuries or accidents have been reported. A flight attendant who is suing the wife of evangelist Joel Osteen says she suffered physical and psychological injuries when she was assaulted by Victoria Osteen in 2005, but 3 airline passengers testified today that they never saw or heard any indication that Osteen assaulted the woman. The government says retail sales fell 0.1% last month, in large part because of a bad month for auto dealers. After a burst of spending from the stimulus checks, economist Julia Coronado of Barclays Capital Group says
This was to be expected.
When we see things like stimulus checks, there's usually what we call a pothole afterwards. Discretionary spending will probably come down and we'll see some weaker numbers, and we could see definitely a weak quarter on consumer spending.
The Dow lost 109 points today. This is CBS News.
Great moments in summer games history from Tiger Balm.
In 1984, American Joan Benoit convincingly won gold in the first ever women's marathon competition. You, on the other hand, ran out of breath after two blocks, tripped over your dog, and strained the arch of your left foot.
Oh!
Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. A 100-year pain relief formula trusted by people around the world. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, let's see. Progressive is more than just cascading waterfalls and lush green gardens. It's all your auto insurance wants and needs, like the chance to save hundreds and the fact that we're there for you 24/7 to answer any questions. And they're not answered by magical nymphs, but by licensed agents, which is nice. Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company's affiliates, Mayfield, Flint, Ohio. Prices vary based on iBuy.
A group of New Orleans police officers can get on with their lives. A judge has thrown out criminal charges stemming from a shooting in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. WWL Radio's Jay Vice reports.
The judge quashed the grand jury's indictments against seven New Orleans officers from an incident that happened in the immediate turmoil following Hurricane Katrina. The officers say they became engaged in a gun battle with a group that opened fire on them, and two people were killed. The officers were initially cleared, but the local DA later sought to charge them with murder.
They are obviously relieved. They're ready to go back to work and resume their careers.
Major Michael Glasser with the Police Association of New Orleans. The judge ruled that the prosecution wrongly gave secret grand jury testimony to a witness in the case. Jay Vice for CBS News, New Orleans.
Cindy McCain has her right arm in a sling after treatment at a Michigan hospital. According to the McCain campaign, an old wrist injury flared up when she encountered an enthusiastic supporter. John McCain says his wife won't be shaking any more hands for a while. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, we're Shadaisy. Now, being on tour is great, but after 23 days, we can't wait to get home
and to our own Sleep Number beds. The tougher your days, the more you deserve a Sleep Number night. It's the only bed that lets you adjust your Sleep Number setting at the touch of a button. A higher Sleep Number setting for more firmness, a lower number for softer support. And since every day is different, you can always find your perfect Sleep Number anytime. Because the most comfortable sleep is the one you control yourself. The difference a Sleep Number bed makes every night. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com to find any one of our 450 stores. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts. Enjoy cool summer savings on all Sleep Number beds. Twin mattresses start at only $449. Hurry in. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com today for a store near you.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We'll be bringing you our exclusive coverage of the Democratic Convention less than 2 weeks away. Bill and Hillary both get to speak.
Get heading to the spin now that he's been in for however long it's been. Grin a good old grin, tuck in your second chin, and everybody do the tuck. Come on and slide over to the middle.
Over to the middle.
Straighten up and step line.
Up and step line.
Lean it to the left a little.
To the left a little.
Now lean a lot to the right.
Lot to the
come
right.
Come on and take a definite position.
Definite position.
Now do a total turnabout. Take your finger at the media, see how good they'll be to you.
Everybody do the Clinton.
Yes, the Democratic Convention is supposed to be about the nominee, Barack Obama, but clearly Clinton forces are holding sway. Hillary will speak on Tuesday night. We've learned that former President Bill Clinton will be speaking on Wednesday night. And so the question arises, what about the Hillary supporters who haven't really let go? and who believe that she should be the nominee, some of whom have threatened to vote for John McCain if Obama comes out of the convention with the nomination as is expected. Will Bauer is one of the founders of the movement that they call PUMA, Party Unity My Ass is what it stands for, and we're not offended by that. Will, welcome back to the program today.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So tell us what you have in mind. I think you're going to be in Denver, aren't you?
August 22nd to August 30th.
Uh-huh. And what do the PUMAs plan to do to argue their case?
Well, to argue our case, I guess I'd start with you. I'd say that it's not supposed to be about Barack Obama, as you suggested at the top of the hour. I think it's supposed to be about the delegates and how they vote. That's what the convention's for. Otherwise, it's nothing more than a pageant.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that we are working to have Hillary Clinton's name placed into nomination, and once that happens, we're hoping that we can convince just 4% of the delegate body as a whole to change their mind and switch back to Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm. All right, and just a baseline question. If that occurs and Hillary Clinton is the nominee, you will obviously support her in November.
Yes.
But if her name is entered into nomination and you do not persuade 4% of the delegates to switch or to affirm support for Senator Clinton, are you prepared to support Barack Obama in November?
I am not.
Okay. And would that take a form of not voting, voting for a third-party candidate, or quietly supporting John McCain, or actively supporting John McCain? You got a range of choices, Will.
Yeah, I would personally, I'm not speaking for the whole PUMA movement, but I personally would be voting for John McCain. And how actively, I'm not sure yet, but I make it known that that's how I'd be casting my vote. But, you know, the PUMAs out there have different ideas on this one. Some will vote third-party, some will write Hillary's name in, some will stay at home. And we all, you know, we're working together on this one, and we all respect each other's opinions on that.
Mm-hmm. Now, how real is your threat? Because, Will, you and I have talked a couple of times. I consider you to be fairly reasonable, and we might have some differences, but it's hard to imagine that the differences you and I have are as great as the differences between any Democratic nominee and John McCain.
Well, that is true. Well, no, you know, I want to stop myself. I want to say that's not true. I want to say we really don't know what Barack Obama's about anymore. I think he spent the last 6 weeks confusing all of us. He's gone 180 degrees on every issue in a way that makes John Kerry look like a rock of stability. So I don't think we really know where Barack Obama stands on many of these things. So well, at the end of the day, we're going to have to vote for issues that aren't platform issues but are character issues.
Well, Will, I understand what you're saying, and I have my own problems with the way Obama and his campaign have operated since they more or less clinched what they think is the nomination. And the litany is growing longer, offshore drilling. The FISA law is a real heavy weight for me. His position on the Supreme Court decision about capital punishment does not sit well with me. Likewise, his embrace of their decision on the Second Amendment doesn't sit well with me. But honestly, when I look at it, and perhaps I am wedged in because I simply cannot countenance supporting John McCain because of the potential Supreme Court nominations, his current ravings about Georgia, which are really the product of Randy Schuneman, who until March was a paid lobbyist of the government of Georgia. You know, those kinds of unsavory associations and his political bent make it absolutely impossible for me to ever contemplate what you're describing. I could imagine some people staying home or going to the polls but not voting for president, selecting a third-party candidate, particularly here in California, where it probably wouldn't affect the outcome. You know, those are ways that people could express themselves. But I really struggle to find how you could ever consider voting for John McCain.
Well, firstly, it's not something that I'll be going to the polls on November 4th and doing with joy or gladness in my heart. The way I view it is it's a bitter pill. And as I said, I've voted for 18 years now, and I've not once voted for a Republican. So it's not something that I'm doing lightly or happily. That said, regardless of all these issues, for me, the most important issue is the Democratic principle itself. And I see that our party, I'm still saying our party, the Democratic Party, I feel that the DNC has done to us what the Republican Party did to the whole country back in 2000. The difference is that this time we have a chance to do something about it. And I can't in good conscience support such an anti-democratic system. Again, our parties, they're our voice. They're the ones that bring us to the table in Congress and in the White House. And if they no longer stand up for democratic principles, no one's going to. So I have to do whatever I can to stop this anti-democratic behavior where I see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to tell you that, like making sausage, the political process is stinky, and when you observe it up close, it can be very offensive. And I have my own litany of issues about the way that Denis Kucinich was marginalized, a man who represented me on the issues, even if he didn't have the traction and the fundraising support to go the distance. He was shown a great deal of disrespect by the party, by the organizers of the various debates, and I'm not bitter about it, but it's something I haven't forgotten, and I'm deeply disappointed in the way the process was maneuvered to favor the top candidates, who really were three: Edwards, Obama, and Clinton. And if we are really honest about this, the Democratic hierarchy was composed of Clinton loyalists and was prepared to deliver on the sense of entitlement that she is next and that she has earned this when Obama upset the apple cart with the Iowa primary. And, from there, there are a number of things we can complain about. I know that Florida and Michigan remain open wounds for many people in the Democratic Party. But, to replay those pains and injuries and focus on that at the expense of the big picture, which is, who's going to run our government and what direction they will take it in, even with the misgivings you cited and that some of which I share about Barack Obama and his inconsistency, I simply can't imagine that John McCain would be better.
Well, we have different definitions of the big picture or different ways of viewing the big picture. I mean, it sounds like we both are looking at that and we have different ways of looking at it. You mentioned John McCain and the Supreme Court. What I would propose is that we don't know what kind of Supreme Court nominee that Barack Obama is going to give us, especially with the way he's been behaving the last 2 months. Wait.
We know that he is a constitutional law instructor, professor at the University of Chicago.
And he supports FISA.
Well, I have a big problem there, Will, and I can't reconcile that. But I do have to say that I cannot imagine that he would be appointing pro-business people, justices who would embrace the unitary executive concepts the way Alito and Roberts do. And so I think there's a very clear difference there, granting what you said, that we can't explicitly predict what Obama will do.
Agreed on that very last bit. What I would say when you're going back to Kucinich, what I would say is what you see as Kucinich's treatment in the early picture is essentially Hillary Clinton's role in this now. You think that she was the one with a sense of entitlement, but I would say that the DNC has had their candidate pre-selected a long time ago. I mean, you don't give away keynote speeches for nothing, and like they did back in 2004. I think a lot of people have had their eyes on Barack Obama for a long time now. And I would say that the way that the DNC treated this primary season, it showed who they wanted to be their candidate, and it was not Hillary Clinton. People talk about Michigan and Florida, but I would say anyone who thinks that Michigan and Florida were just jockeying for position, they don't know the full story behind Michigan and Florida. They should have been granted waivers. They aren't the only two states that broke rules. Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, all of those states broke rules but were not granted waivers. And it's because the DNC had a preference, and we can see their preference in the way that they chose to uphold these various rules along the way.
Well, I'm not so sure of that. I do understand the argument, and that you feel that Donna Brazile and Howard Dean, maneuvered the machinery in favor of Obama. And I do think that by the time the Rules Committee met, went around Memorial Day, that the die was cast there, and I think that was because Obama was ahead. He did not have enough delegates to clinch the nomination purely on the non-super delegates, but he was in the lead, and I do think that they put their thumbs on the scale at that point. But I also think that at that point it was too late to try to fix Michigan and Florida, and those were the two key legs that the Clinton campaign was relying on to reverse their fortunes.
Well, and I'd say that they're legs that were hobbled by the DNC, firstly, And also, you know, to go to delegate count, this is actually my single biggest hot-button issue, and it's one that's kind of nerdy and wonky, and no one really talks about it out there, but it's the DNC's apportionment system. The holy grail for Barack Obama on June 3rd was that he had the delegate lead. But what no one realizes is how anti-democratic the DNC's apportionment system is, where Barack Obama gets more delegates out of the state of Idaho than Hillary gets out of Ohio and Texas combined. Back in 2000, Democrats were going to the pulpit saying, popular vote, look at the popular vote, the Electoral College is anti-democratic. And yet they turn around and create one of the single most anti-democratic election systems this country has ever seen.
Well, on that.
So for me, it means nothing. And for that to be the holy grail itself.
Well, Will, I think that many of us discovered, and I've been following politics a long time. I had hair when I started.
And
it was really the closeness of the race this year that caused us to take a hard look at the way delegates are allocated. And even here in California, where Hillary nominally won the popular vote in the primary, she came away without an equivalent percentage of the delegates because the way they're selected. Let's talk about that as we continue. I want to open up the phone lines. Will Bauer is with us talking about the Pumas and Hillary Clinton's chances in Denver. I'd like to hear from you. Lines are open toll-free right now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Join us in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's not 5 miles from the convention center.
Ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th. Buy your tickets online and save big. MontereyCountyFair.com.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Couple of new problems out there. Getting things started, South 101 after Cochran Road in Morgan Hill. An accident with a couple of cars in the center divide. CHP is on the scene. Tow trucks are rolling out to the area. For Castroville, Monte Del Lago at Cielo Azul, we have an accident. Couple of cars, they are both off to the right-hand shoulder now. Highway 17 has been pretty good this afternoon. Still no stalls or accidents up there. Highway 68 currently checking and stalling accident-free. And again, patches of slow traffic southbound 101 leaving Morgan Hill, or leaving South San Jose as you head up towards Cochran where that accident is. And this is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, call it in, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B.
I was walking over the highway. I saw above me and in the skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for me. I roamed and rambled and followed my footsteps.
We're discussing what Clinton supporters will do at the Denver convention. As you know, the Peter B. Collins Show will broadcast live from Denver starting on Monday, the 25th of August. And I want to thank all the people who've stepped up to contribute to help us cover our costs. It's something we hadn't budgeted for because, well, we really don't have a budget here. And I just want to thank all the people who have logged on to peterbcollins.com. There's a link there called You Can Help. And it describes how you can help. And if you don't have web access, you could just drop a check in the mail to Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's Peter B. Collins, Box 100, pardon me, Mill Valley, California, 94942. So, Will Bauer, you and I have talked before. I am not afraid of democracy. I don't think the leadership will permit it, but I would like to see Senator Clinton's name entered into nomination and a roll call vote. And should she secure the nomination, I would accept that, and I would support her in November, despite many misgivings I have about her and her cadre. But how do you put a campaign back on track that has been suspended since June, that is $15 million, and I'm being generous, it was 20, and I assume they've raised a lot of cash to reduce it, but she still owes Mark Penn millions of dollars. And how would they possibly put a campaign together that could be competitive in the 60 days that remain after the convention to the November election?
Well, I would say, simply put, that if she makes a comeback and takes this nomination, it will be one of the greatest political comebacks in American history. Maybe even the greatest. I think that in itself would be very inspirational to many people out there. She would get media coverage night and day. I think people would be very generous in the money that they would contribute to her campaign. So I think it's a campaign that could come from suspension into full force in 0-60.
I frankly disagree. I mean, you're entitled to your wish and your hope there, and you know, you can be even audacious with hope. that's not owned by Obama. But realistically, you know, she didn't, even in the times when she was competitive in the latter stages of the primaries, where she won Pennsylvania and Ohio and Texas and West Virginia and came close in Indiana, what we saw there was that people were not whipping out their checkbooks.
Well, maybe they weren't then. I'd say that the reason why they weren't was because it was at the end of a very long primary season. I'd say that they were writing their checks in January and February, not planning on writing them in May. You know, I think that's a fair assessment. But what I'd also say about is her electability. I'd say that she would be going into November the more electable candidate. I mean, they're still polling Hillary Clinton right now, and every poll that is out there that has Hillary Clinton going against John McCain, she readily beats him, whereas Obama doesn't.
Well,
Hillary Clinton has positioned herself to appeal to the swing voter of the swing states.
Well, so Will, I don't think those polls are relevant at this point because she's not an active candidate, and I also believe that she galvanizes the Republican Party in a way that Obama does not. And they're trying very hard to use.
I agree with you, but I think there's been a complete role reversal.
They're trying to use
voting for McCain in November because it's Obama. I think that we got to know Hillary Clinton as a populist candidate by May in a way we had never seen her before. I think she's a new person now because of this primary season.
Well, I think that you're discounting the negatives that she continues to carry. And that using Mark Penn's talking points, the McCain campaign is trying to tag Barack Obama with all the negatives that were heavily researched by the Clinton campaign. And still, and even with, my disappointments, as we discussed with Obama's shift on positions that are really critical to me, I still believe that he widens the appeal of the Democratic Party. She does not. I believe that he is not the unifier of the Republican Party, and I believe she is. We got to take a break, and I'll let you respond to both of those points when we return. And we'll go to the phones in the next segment. Will Bauer is with us, and you can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Cindy Sheehan will be speaking at the Vets Hall in Santa Cruz at 7 p.m. on Thursday, August 14th. Are you angry at Nancy Pelosi for telling America that impeachment is off the table and for scheduling votes to continue funding the war on the people of Iraq and to authorize spying on Americans by the Bush administration? Join Cindy Sheehan Thursday, August 14th at the Veterans Memorial Building on Front Street in downtown Santa Cruz at 7 p.m. Browse to vetshall.org for more information. This event is sponsored by the Green Party of Monterey County.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. A Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. What do you think of the Hillary Clinton supporters who aren't ready to let go? Some of them ready to vote for John McCain in November? I'd like to hear your comments. And if you're listening on KRXA 540 Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, give me a call.
Thunder and calling to the faraway town. Now war is declared and battle come down. Thunder and calling to the underworld. Come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls. Thunder and calling, now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania has bitten the dust. The rain and the crunch of things. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is burning. Engines stop running, but I have no fear. Cause London is drowning and I
free. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Will Bauer continues with us, one of the founders of the Puma movement. They are angry at the way the Democratic Party conducted its primaries this year. They feel that Hillary Clinton deserves the nomination, and they haven't given up. So, first of all, Will, I just wanted to ask if you have a website, one of your favorites, because there are quite a few Puma-related websites. Where would you like to direct our listeners for more information?
Well, sure. I mean, my personal website is puma08.com. The problem with that site is that I've been so busy in the media that I've had very little time to tend to it. So it's been kind of sparse the last few days, but that's home for me. Mm-hmm. The coalition, of which I'm also a co-founder, is justsaynodeal.com. Okay. And there's lots happening there. It's always moving because there are so many of us taking care of that site. Mm-hmm. So if you want to find where really a lot of the activity is, that they just say nodeal.com.
Okay. And Will, we will be in Denver at Radio Row, and I want to extend an invitation publicly to you right now to join us on the program on Monday or Tuesday, because I believe in democracy. I believe in hearing all voices. And while you're pretty clear on what my position is, I believe that you deserve to be heard at the convention. And as I've told you, I am not opposed to opening it up and allowing her to be nominated and to allow the actual vote of the delegates to determine who is ultimately the nominee.
Well, thank you for that. And likewise, I'd like to offer a counter-invitation. We're going to be setting up our very own media, press, and blogger, Puma Den. We're going to make it high-tech and super savvy, and we want to offer an extend an invitation to people like yourself to come and meet us on our ground as well, so maybe we can have an exchange.
All right.
And also what I'd like to say is really, you know, with all this talk of John McCain that we've been talking about, you and I agree on what is dearest to me right now, you know, an open convention. That is what I want more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't, you know, as I said, you know, I'm not about John McCain. I'm about the Democratic Party and hopefully saving it if I can.
All right. And, Will, I want to give you an opportunity because we had to go to a break as I made a point and I wanted to allow you to respond. What I said was that Obama widens the appeal of the Democratic Party in ways that Hillary does not, and that Hillary galvanizes the Republican Party against the Democrats in a way that Obama doesn't yet.
Well, what I would say to that is we probably won't have much to talk about on this one because we could not be in more greater disagreement on that one. I mean, the way I see it, Barack Obama is going to inspire Republicans to come out in droves to vote against him, and I see that Hillary Clinton has really repaired her reputation with at least moderate Republicans, independents, and swing voters the last few months of her campaign. So I see it very differently.
Well, and I appreciate your perspective. My point here is that the one exception I would offer is that the Republicans have now dipped into both race and patriotism in their attacks on Barack Obama, and it remains to be seen how effective those are. Because I think that this whole celebrity thing and the way they are, asking if he has enough experience is really a code for a racial sub-theme that isn't that far below the surface. I want to take some calls now. Brad in Santa Cruz, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter, thanks. Hey, great tunes on hold. You know, what I wanted to say is that, Will Bowers sounds to me like he's just a narcissist who thinks that if you can't have the kind of change in government that he wants, then there shouldn't be any change at all. He's a guy who says that if his candidate can't win, he'll vote for a Republican. He's not a Democrat at all. I'm for an open convention, but, it just freaks me out that there's going to be guys like this there because he doesn't have my best interests at heart. He'd rather have things stay the same than to have change if it isn't the kind of change that he wants. I think it was kind of revealing when you asked him what website to use. He said, well, here's mine, but it's not the best one. But his impulse was first to give you his. He's just a narcissist, and guys like this should go away.
Well, that's pretty strong stuff. Will, go ahead and respond.
Well, I'm really not interested in replying to that. I mean, what would you like me to address, Peter?
Thanks for taking the superior tone. It's another thing, another characteristic that we get from narcissists. Listen,
okay.
Peter, I'm glad you're listening to not me because I can't stand the guy.
Peter,
I'll talk to you another time.
You about that caller.
I'm sorry, there goes Brad. What did you say, Will?
I'd be happy to have you translate his question to me in a way that, I'd like to answer. I'm not really interested in addressing that.
Well, okay. I understand that, he's got an element of snark in there. But, the point he's making is that you are focused on your own perceived sense of hurt or, non-inclusion in the process. And I have to say that I get some of the same drift here, Will, which is that you didn't get what you wanted. And therefore, you're going to piss on what is, surfacing as the consensus here.
Well, and firstly, I will say that I did not like John Kerry, but I voted for him.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't about who I like or dislike. This is about a process that I've seen trampled. And as for change, that was one of the key words I heard in there. Yeah, we've been getting a lot of change from Obama, but I don't know what that means anymore, and I don't think that change after November would be a positive change. So, I don't think that I'm standing in the way of good change. I think I'm standing in the way of bad change.
Well, Will, let me offer.
I'll just say this last thing. If it seems narcissistic, well, yeah, I'm talking about my own thoughts and feelings, and I do have to say I a lot because I don't want to speak for other people out of turn. I'm on your show to talk about what I think and feel.
Mm-hmm.
So if it sounds narcissistic, I guess that just kind of comes with the game of talking and expressing myself here.
Okay. Let me offer one of the areas where Obama has been consistent and where I believe that he does offer change that is really important, and that is putting diplomacy before the gunboats. And he, I think, has been shown to be, on-spot policy-wise related to getting our troops out of Iraq on some sort of a timeline. And the Iraqis have helped shift the ground under McCain and Bush on that so that they have to accept that we are going to be leaving Iraq, and that is something that I believe progressive Democrats put in motion and Obama capitalized on. Secondly, regarding Iran, we saw the Bush administration blink and send a diplomat to Geneva to engage in a direct meeting. We can't necessarily say they were direct discussions, but a direct meeting with Iranians. We're opening up an interest section in Iran, and it appears that the rush to war against Iran, or at least a military assault, has been slowed. And so I do think that there are significant issues here where, depending on, I understand the wobbliness of that term change and how it devolves to a slogan that can be meaningless. But I also think when you're objective about it, Obama does offer substantive change on critical issues and that, that is something that has caused people to support him and view him as superior to John McCain.
Well, firstly, I would say that this all brings into question the element of trust. We've never seen him really in a leadership role, and I don't trust him to deliver on most of what he's offering. But aside from that, it's my understanding that he has changed on Iraq a few times, more than once. Originally, I might get the numbers wrong here, but I believe it was originally he said 15 months. Then he said 19 months. Then he said, well, we need to check conditions on the ground and consult with our generals, which is essentially Bush speak. And that's, I mean, that was always Bush's line of defense. So I don't see where he's been consistent with Iraq.
On that, Will, he had a fairly clear position, and maybe it's gotten a little fuzzy because things have shifted a little bit, particularly the Maliki government asking us to leave. But to be fair, Senator Clinton was wrong on the war to begin with. She has never been able to admit, like John Edwards did, that she voted the wrong way, and Mark Penn and others on her team, we now know, were very vociferous in avoiding that kind of a moment of humility. And she has since pivoted and parroted the proposals of the Obama campaign, because by the end of the primaries, there was very little difference between the stated policies of the two top contenders.
Well, I think this would be going back in time to debate this, but I'll do so. I mean, Barack Obama had no responsibility at the time of the vote, and he, you know, on multiple times was quoted as saying either, A, he didn't know how he would have voted had he been in the sentence, or the Senate, or B, that he feels he would conduct the war very similarly to Bush. I mean, he's been quoted as saying so many different things about the Iraq War, and it seems like we always give him a pass and take, you know, take whichever view of that we want to see. Mm-hmm. We view him as the anti-Iraq war candidate when he said some things that were actually rather supportive of it.
Well, and I'll just tell you, Will, that I've been articulating my own misgivings about his rather blithe call to send more troops to Afghanistan, because I think that's something that should be very carefully considered. If the goal is to take out Al-Qaeda, I'm more comfortable. But if the goal is to add more troops to occupy Afghanistan after the Soviets failed and many other conquerors before that, I have real serious concerns there. Let's go to Charlie in Santa Cruz, listening on KRXA. Welcome, Charlie.
Hey, thanks, Peter. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You know, I'm a lifelong Democrat and military veteran, law enforcement, last 20 years of my life, and I can't wait for this election to be said and done. People like the Puma, Mr. Bowers, are absolutely ludicrous in their statement that because Hillary was out-campaigned in the primaries, which she was, she thought she just had to show up and she was going to be handed the Democratic nomination. Obama out-campaigned her on every aspect. He gained money, the Internet usage. And that's our Democratic representative at this point. Now, to come out and say that he's going to vote for John McCain is leaning to the Republican way of fear-based politics. He's trying to scare people into changing their mind and voting for Obama, because if they don't, he and his friends, all 50 of them, will go out and vote for John McCain. And that's ludicrous.
All right, let's get a comment. Will?
Well, sure. You can call it fear tactic. I call it factual. I'm just stating how I'm going to be voting in November if I have to choose between Obama and McCain. But what I'll say is that with
all
of those
friends,
I agree that Obama ran a strong campaign. But regardless of all that, regardless of Hillary's weaknesses in campaigning, we still feel at the end of the day she won it. You know, not just the popular vote, but if the delegate system had actually been proportional, you know, for example, to mirror the Electoral College, Hillary Clinton would have won it. And we saw her becoming a better and better and better candidate, where we saw Barack Obama becoming weaker and weaker and weaker as we got to know him. And, you know, I don't feel that we're being sore losers. I feel that we're being angry winners.
That's absolutely false. Obama out-campaigned Clinton. Now, your statement and your point, Mr. Bowers, that if Clinton could get the nomination, it could possibly become historic. What you're refusing to acknowledge is that the Obama campaign is history in the making, sir. I'm 46 years old. I've been voting since I was 18. This is history, and it's an overwhelming surge. Let's talk about a surge. This is a political surge. People are ready for change. This man is brilliant. You've got McCain, who's got a wife addicted to pain medication. You're saying you're going to put them in the White House. and that with Exxon Mobil, the king of the world, he's in their pocket, and you're going to vote for him because you're so bitter and angry about Hillary being out-campaigned in the primary. That's nuts.
All right, Charlie, Charlie, we got your point. Thanks for your call.
Right now.
Go ahead,
that's
Will.
Kind of out of left field. I could talk about drugs, too, if I was really bitter and wanted to. But aside from that, that part threw me off right there.
Well, let's take a break. Will, compose yourself. No.
I had something really good to say, and Cindy McCain all of a sudden came into this, and I was like, well, what are we talking about Cindy McCain's drug habit for?
Well, that's what came up. We'll take a break.
Right.
We'll take a break and return with Will Bauer, JustSayNoDeal.com, if you want more information on the Pumas. 888-5-PETER-B. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Couple of new problems out there. Getting things started, South 101 after Cochran Road in Morgan Hill. An accident with a couple of cars in the center divide. CHP's on the scene. Tow trucks are rolling out to the area. For Castroville, Monte Del Lago at Cielo Azul, we have an accident. Couple of cars, they are both off to the right-hand shoulder. Now, Highway 17's been pretty good this afternoon. Still no stalls or accidents up there. Highway 68 currently checking and stalling accident-free. And again, patches of slow traffic southbound 101 leaving Morgan Hill, leaving South San Jose as you head up towards Cochran, where that accident is. And this is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, call it in, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Will Bauer, a diehard Hillary Clinton supporter. He's co-founder of the Pumas. Again, their website, justsaynodeal.com or puma08.com. And they'll be in Denver along with us, and we'll certainly talk with them on the program at that time and see if they're able to pull together the insurgency to put Hillary Clinton's name into nomination and then enough delegate support to beat Barack Obama. And, Will, did you? I wanted to give you a chance if you collected your thoughts there during
Yeah, I did, exactly. I remember what I was about to reply to that caller was he was talking about the historical nature of this election season.
Right.
And what I'm finding most amazing right now is that this convention falls on the 88th anniversary of suffrage, and this is the first time that there is a woman that could be on the nominating ballot. And the very first time that that happens, the DNC wants to silence 18 million voices that supported that woman and only have one name on the ballot. Now, I know you agree with me that it should be an open convention, but that's what I find kind of baffling about the historical nature of this convention. And they want to silence it.
You know, I have a hard time with the comparative breakthrough here because I have to say that an African-American man or a woman, either one is historic, and it's breaking barriers, glass ceilings, whatever you want to call it. And so I find that a little bit specious to, you know, say that suffrage is more important than civil rights.
I made no comment that it was more important. I simply said that to remove that from the equation when for the first time a woman is poised to have that and we take it away from her. I'm not taking anything away from an African-American candidate. I'm just saying that the DNC is trying to take that from a woman when this is so historical and they want us to just silence that. So that's what I'm finding amazing.
All right. Let's go to Judith in Monterey. Thanks for your call, Judith. You're on with Will Bauer.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to say that, you know, I've been listening to this. I didn't get the whole program, but I really don't think this person is a Democrat or a Republican. I think he's just basically stupid because we've had 8 years of some of the worst government that I have ever witnessed. And I'm 62 years old, and I'm a white female, and I'm for Obama. I got to tell you about Clinton. She has done so many things that turn me against her policies, not because she was a woman, but because of her policies. I feel we deserve better than another Clinton or a Bush. I am so sick of hearing those names. I can't stand it. She needs to get off the pedestal and thank her lucky stars that she can even be involved in this in any way. She has acted like a little child. And in endorsing McCain over one of our candidates, endorsing this man over our candidate, McCain, I could not believe that. And if I had any inkling at all that I thought maybe she might be able to pull it together, that did it for me. When you start endorsing the opposition party, I'm sorry.
All right, Judith, we got your point. Will, what's your response?
Well, firstly, I missed a lot of what she said. Her mouth was really close to the phone, and it was blurry. But one thing I did catch was 8 years of George Bush, and I couldn't agree more. And I think that a lot of my passion in this is because of that. You know, I saw my vote. And
wait. Will, this doesn't compute. For you to say that 8 years of Bush would lead you to vote for McCain?
Well, I was about to get there.
Go ahead. Help me compute.
Okay. I saw that we had 8 years of a president that we didn't elect. And I don't want to see 8 years of another, at least a Democratic nominee that we didn't elect. We selected him. The DNC selected him. And I don't want to live through another candidate that's been hoisted on me by insiders in a political coup.
All right, but the inside games of the Democratic Party pale in comparison to the election fraud perpetrated twice by the Bush machine. And so that's an empty...
Is ultimately what ends up happening to us all.
Well, that's just...
Of both the Republican Party
Party. That is an empty embrace of election integrity. And I was offended when Hillary did that. She was saying, count every vote, including the ones from Florida and Michigan that were disqualified before they went to the polls. That's trying to rewrite the rules of the game while it's in progress.
Well, the rules of the game weren't being evenly applied. Why didn't we apply those rules to Iowa, South Carolina, or New Hampshire?
Well, I think that is open to, you know, discussion, and I'd love to see a proposal to revamp our primary process. There's a guy who's been on this program.
That's how I got into this. I wrote a piece that was picked up by FloridaDelegates.com, then was picked up by the Huffington Post. That's how I got my column with the Huffington Post.
And let me suggest.
That's what I'm all about.
Well, let me suggest if you haven't already, pick up a book by Thomas Gangalli, G-A-N-G-A-L-E. It is a very detailed analysis of the primary process, and a series of proposals to fix it, to make it fair and more representative to the popular vote. And I agree there are real problems that need to be fixed here, but the first one is we got to get Republicans out of the White House. That's my top priority. Got time for one more call. It's Colonel Perry in Monterey. Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Bauer, I find your logic and facts preposterous. And I have to suspect that maybe you're being funded by Bill and Hillary Clinton. The dishonesty
I received $100 from one person who was sympathetic to the fact that I quit my job. And somebody, some kind soul out there put $100 in my PayPal account, and that's the only money I've received.
All right, well, then, really, your support for Mrs. Clinton is incredibly inappropriate factually in what's best for the country. And I'd urge you to please see more intelligent light. She will damage the Democratic Party further if she's on the ticket.
On the nominating ballot, you're saying?
I'm sorry?
You know,
you're saying that it will damage the country if she's on the nominating ballot?
If she's on the ticket.
She will damage the Democratic Party and the country both. But Clinton should have had Bill Clinton resign. Gore would have been in for 21 months, and we wouldn't have had Bush and Cheney and all that has happened.
All right, Colonel, I'm sorry I'm out of time, but I thank you for your comments today. Will Bauer, thanks for being a good sport and a good debater, and I will I will see you in Denver.
See you in Denver.
All right, that's Will Bauer, and I'm Peter B. Collins. Let's hop on board a trigger here and ride off into the sunset. Thanks for listening today.
Until we meet again, happy trails to you.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy 2 bottles, you get 1 bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The face of America is changing faster than many experts thought. New figures show whites will be a minority in 34 years. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv takes a closer look.
Based on birth rates, death rates, immigration, and emigration, the Census Bureau projects that the white non-Hispanic majority, now 66% of America's population, will shrink to 46% in the year 2050. The groups projected to grow by a lot are Asians, from 5% of the population now to more than 9%, and Latinos. The Census Bureau says the Hispanic percentage will double from 15 to 30% in the year 2050. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
And the country is aging. By the year 2050, the number of people 85 and older is projected to more than triple. The Bush administration has solidified its support for the democratically elected government in Georgia. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice challenging Russia to abide by the ceasefire.
I've heard the Russian president say that his military operations are over. I am saying that it is time for the Russian president to be true to his word.
She's going to Paris, then on to Tbilisi on a quest for a diplomatic settlement. At the same time, President Bush is sending U.S. military forces to Georgia to deliver humanitarian aid. The Pentagon is monitoring developments. CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier has the latest there.
The air assault seems to have stopped for now. Pentagon officials say that Russian jets are sticking to the Russian-Georgian border or just within it. They are not menacing the Georgian capital, Tbilisi. They're not picking a fight right now.
But they're believed to have taken up positions in the Georgian city of Gori, which would allow them to threaten Tbilisi and control the country's main east-west road. Bill Guatney, the Democratic state chairman in Arkansas, was fatally shot today by a man who barged into his office.
We have no indications of motive at this time. That's something we'll be looking into.
Little Rock Police Lieutenant Terry Hastings identifies the gunman as 50-year-old Timothy Dale Johnson.
After the shooting, in an encounter with the building manager at the Arkansas Baptist headquarters, Johnson blurted out, "I lost my job." After a 30-mile chase, he was killed in a shootout with police. Guatney